No, you can't use the word death.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Sunday, November 19th, 2023. This is your award-winning Gimbal Nation Media Assassination, episode 1609.
This is No Agenda.
Taking the long-termist view and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
Man, from northern Silicon Valley, where I'm sick of listening to football players saying they're playing one day at a time. I'm John C. Dvorak.
Isn't that what we do as podcasters? We're podcasting one show at a time.
This is a good one. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to the NFL Today on CBS.
Yeah.
And James Brown's talking to a remote, and he says to the guy to finish the interview, okay, well, knock him alive.
What?
And I'm thinking, holy mackerel, are you telling me that CBS, you can't use the phrase knock them dead anymore? Because that's what that stems from. Mm-hmm. And you make something up, which isn't really an old saying or an old phrase or anything else.
Horrible.
And you say knock them alive.
Oh, this is no good. Knock them alive.
It's pathetic. Oh, you might hurt somebody's feelings.
That's pretty lame.
That's the lamest thing I've ever heard. James Brown, host of the show.
What do you mean? The James Brown?
James Brown. He's a sportscaster.
Oh, but wasn't he an ex-football player?
You know, I don't think he was.
No? Oh.
He looks like he's a big guy, but I don't think he was.
Okay. Well, that's pretty sad. That is pretty sad. Knock him alive. We should come up with a whole bunch of those sayings.
Knock him alive.
Not over my living body.
Perfect. You nailed it.
Can make him up right where you are, man. No problem.
Over my living body.
Over my living body. That's not going to happen.
That one makes a little more sense than him alive. You can't knock somebody alive.
You can pry it from my cold living hands. somehow it just doesn't.
You're on a roll. Keep it up.
I can't think of any more. Wanted, living or alive. There you go. No, I mean, how much more do you want from me? I'm here all night and day.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Hey, there's some funny stuff happening, which we needed.
Funny stuff.
Oh, yeah. We needed some funny stuff because everyone's so serious. Even the emails we get are so serious.
Our emails have been too serious recently.
Everyone's very concerned about everything. But I think what has just been fantastic to watch is the M5M mainstream media blatantly lying about Elon Musk.
You're right. They are lying about Elon Musk.
Blatantly lying. I
think I have a clip.
Let me get you started with a little bit of CBS.
You had to find mine.
Yeah, a little bit of CBS Evening News, everybody.
Back here at home, tech billionaire Elon Musk is under fire for spreading anti-Semitic and racist hate.
I just have, let me just ask a question before we even get into the story.
Yeah, racist hate.
Before we get even into the story, why is everything, it's transphobic, it's homophobic, it's Islamophobic, but then instead of Jewophobic, it's anti-Semitism. How come they don't use it, or, you know, Semophobic? Why don't they use phobic for anti-Semitism, which by itself is not...
Well, they use phobic for racism.
Yes, but I just...
The guy's negrophobic.
I just don't understand. I don't understand why it's anti-Semitism. If you're anti, like, you know... I'm anti a lot of things. I'm anti-vegan. It doesn't sound the same as vegophobic. I don't know.
You could be anti-trans. How come they don't use that?
Well, this is my point. It doesn't sound...
No, the phobic thing has always been a problem. It started with homophobic. And if you use the word phobic, that means fear of.
Yeah.
But in most cases, people who are homophobic hate gays.
Yeah, irrational fear. It's irrational fear of something.
Yeah, irrational fear. They're not fearful of a horde of gays coming out at them. Here they come. What are we gonna do?
Hey, I would. I'd be careful, man. Some of those gay guys are pretty buff. Beat
but
you up.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
The guy's really buff. He's gay.
Yeah, but instead of semiphobic, Israelophobic. It could be a whole bunch of phobics.
Israelophobic. That sounds good. That has a good sound to it.
Because it really is an irrational fear. Zionophobic. Doesn't work for it. Zionophobic. Yeah. That would be better than anti-Semitic. Just doesn't have enough weight. I mean, I think that the Jews should do something about that.
Well, not only that, but most of the people are complaining about the Israeli Jews.
Yes.
Not just a wandering Jew.
Yes. A shape-shifting Jew. No.
Shape-shifting Jews are okay.
It's just a point of order. I find it an odd.
Only in a podcast can we get away with this kind of discussion.
Oh, yeah, because you can't even agree with a video without getting deplatformed from your own platform.
Back here at home, tech billionaire Elon Musk is under fire for spreading anti-Semitic and racist hate to his 160 million followers on X.
It's not just hate, it's racist hate. It could be race hate would be better, but let's stop picking it apart. Let's just go with the story.
Formerly known as Twitter, Disney is just becoming the latest advertiser to flee the social media platform out of fear that their ads will appear next to hate speech. CBS's Nancy Cordes is at the White House, where the Biden administration today condemned the promotion of what it called hideous anti-Semitic lies.
So I think here's...
Oh, lies!
Anti-Semitic lies. So I think here's how the meeting went. Mr. President, I mean, person who is Mr. President's brain, we got a problem. Like all the kids that we activated for Black Lives Matter and all the LGBTQs, they hate us. They're calling you Genocide Joe. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Genocide Joe, got to go. What, we got to do something. Find something.
You know what? I'm convinced you're right.
Yo.
It's all about Genocide Joe and that phrase.
Yep. Deflection. Anti-Semitic.
By the way, what is anti-Semitic? Is it anti-Semitic hate?
Race hate.
Isn't that redundant in some ways?
I don't know. Well, let's listen. You at the end of that report? Let me listen again.
The latest fire.
Oops.
This is at the White House, where the Biden administration today condemned the promotion of what it called hideous anti-Semitic lies.
No, hideous lies. Lies.
What's an anti-Semitic lie? If you're anti-Semitic, you're anti-Semitic.
I know. It's the whole thing is very shaky. But anyway, so they had this meeting. I'm like, dude, I got something. We can deflect it. Call CBS. Call ABC. Call NBC. Call everybody.
Call the CIA and they'll take care of it.
Call Media Matters. Come on. Get everybody involved. We got something. We can make it Elon. Make it Elon. Make it Elon.
The latest firestorm sparked by
Firestorm.
Firestorm? No. I only heard about this a few hours ago.
Lahaina was a firestorm, lady. Not this.
Elon Musk on his social media site, X, is now threatening to spread...
Violation. She forgot to say formerly known as Twitter. This is a minus point for you, lady.
The latest firestorm sparked by Elon Musk on his social media site, X, is now threatening to spread to his other companies, including SpaceX and electric car maker Tesla.
Oh, it's spreading!
As investors openly muse about selling stock.
Ooh, did you hear anyone openly muse?
About selling stock. This is good. This is a threat. Formal threat laid down by the Biden administration over this Genocide Joe thing, which I'm sure has got to be eaten at him.
Oh, of course.
And they want Musk to throw in with them.
So there it is. And now investors are musing, which, you know, considering would have been a word. What is this muse? Why are they using muse? Because it's bull crap? Because it's not true?
Muse. It's like thinking over. I think it means, I'm thinking it over, you know, this Musk guy, you know, I don't know if I should be investing with him. He's not stable.
Maybe I should, let's just say muse. Let me see muse. Muse as the... Wow, man, you look up muse, you have to actually add the word definition because you get all kinds of... definition. Let's see what the actual definition is. Muse. To become absorbed in thought.
Ooh. I was thinking over again.
I am absorbed. Absorbed in thoughts.
Thinking over absorbed what they're saying.
Amused.
The car maker Tesla, as investors openly muse about selling stock. The controversy started Wednesday afternoon when Musk, the world's richest man, liked a post on X that claimed Jewish communities have a, quote, dialectical hatred against whites.
Okay, so this is the problem.
So it's a retweet.
See, first of all, that is, there's no quote, the word it is dialectical. No, here's what happened. And they all have screenshots on their websites of this one guy who only has 5,000 followers, but he has a blue check. The artist formerly known as Eric. And he is, so what he says is, okay, Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. I am deeply disinterested in giving the tiniest shit now about Western Jewish populations coming to the disturbing realization that those hordes of minorities that they supported flooding their country don't exactly like them too much. You want the truth said to your face? There it is. To which Elon Musk replied, you have said the actual truth. But the thing is, what they don't show on their screenshots
Is the rest of the tweet.
No, is that this guy, this artist formerly known as Eric, he was responding to a tweet before that, which was a video from Jewish Leaders Against Hate, a 1 minute clip, and which is posted by Charles Weber, blue check. He says, to the cowards hiding behind the anonymity of the internet and posting, quote, Hitler was right. You got something you want to say? Why don't you say it to our faces? And so what this is a PSA, a public service announcement of a dad and his kid, both white, clearly pickup truck, so Trump supporters, driving in the rain. And his dad suddenly stops and says, you know, I've been reading what you've been posting. Hitler was right. Are you crazy? And he stops in front of a Jewish school or a synagogue, and the Jewish children are coming out.
Yeah, I've seen this.
And he says, why don't you go say it to their face, son? Implying that the only people who say horrible things about Jews are white Trump supporters, because it is a pickup truck, and I'm just making that supposition. So this guy is replying to that saying, hey, hold on a second. If you want to actually make a point about people who hate you, why don't you look at the people who actually hate you? And that's what it was about. Not about just, you know, Elon Musk saying, oh, yeah, that's right, the Jews hate white people.
Jews hate whites.
That's not what it was. I mean, it's all pretty nuanced. And, hey, people, it's Twitter. But all right, hey, Genocide Joe is a problem. Let's pin it on Musk.
You have said the actual truth, Musk responded.
My first reaction was, grow up.
Rabbi Abraham Cooper just met with Musk about anti-Semitism 2 months ago.
I thought was a kind of flippant statement, which I understood immediately would be embraced by anti-Semites and say, hey, Elon Musk is in our camp. He understands us. He gets our pain.
Tech giant IBM pulled its advertising from X, citing the, quote, entirely unacceptable situation.
Which is so beautifully ironic, seeing as IBM literally colluded with Hitler, making the punch card
for
system.
The camps, for the extermination camps.
To count the Jews. Hey, hold on. Who's your buddy who wrote the book about it? Black?
Edwin Black.
Edwin Black. And do you remember the name of the book? Do you remember the name of the book?
I don't remember the name of the book.
Edwin Black wrote a book.
Edwin.
I keep saying Edwin. I say Edwin, and you keep saying Edwin. It's Edwin. What do you think I'm saying? Erwin?
I'm just coming over muddy.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's your connection. Edwin Black. Let's see. What is his?
He has a lot of books.
He does, but I want to get this one book. Man, look at his. He's got IBM and the Holocaust. We should have been
It's pretty straightforward.
We should have been able to remember that.
He's not trying to cover up the issue with a title that's weird.
You can also, I'm sure we have clips. We won't play them, but go look at Edwin Black.
If you want to get good Edwin Black material,
there you go.
I would say go to C-SPAN, and he has various lectures that are up on C-SPAN about his books. Yeah. You don't have to read the books.
Yeah, and they haven't been thrown off of C-SPAN for Jew hate or anything. It's just the truth. IBM, I think there's even pictures of the CEO of IBM at the time sitting at a table with Hitler.
Like, that could be.
We got a good deal going on. So
they're the ones who bail. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That makes not much sense.
Way to go, IBM.
Lionsgate Entertainment.
And you know what? I could have, if IBM had said, you know, we have had a pretty sordid past. So we are very sorry for our role, and have they ever really apologized publicly?
No, they haven't. And I'll take it one step further. If IBM is actually an advertiser, people told me that they've seen these ads. What do advertisers do when there's a misplaced ad? They call the guy up, they call the company up, and say, "Hey, I don't want my ads placed next to these anti-Jew or Jew hate posts. I want to make good for those to get some free advertising. I want to make good for those, and I don't want it to happen again." That's how you do it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not what happened. Because the White House, presumably, called Media Matters. And I looked up Media Matters, Form 990. They're a nonprofit started by David Brock. I think it was money from the Clintons originally.
Yes, Clinton money.
Do you know how much money they have raked in? Per
lots.
Year? I mean, hold on a second. I have the Form 990 right here. The, let's see. I think this past year was $39 million, $25 million. I mean, these guys have salaries in the $300,000 range. This is serious. I thought that they were just a little rinky-dink operation. No, and they give away hundreds. The Bonner Group, they give away hundreds of thousands of that's professional services. Hundreds of thousands of dollars to other groups.
Professional services means hookers.
Wow, top notch. Maybe they're working with Hunter then, because you know that's like 1,000 really expensive hookers. What's interesting is I looked up their in Form 990, and again these guys in this past year pulled in $25 million. What is there? You have to give a mission as a 501c3 company, and you have to kind of stick to that mission. Otherwise, you know, you run into trouble with the IRS mainly, but in it could be other things. So they have a one line mission statement. Many of these nonprofits have a whole paragraph. No, this is their mission statement: dedicated to comprehensively monitoring, analyzing, and correcting conservative misinformation in the U.S. media. That doesn't mean calling advertisers and say, "Hey, there's some Jew stuff next to your ad." That's not part of their mission.
No, it shouldn't be.
But of course it is. And so they sent Media Matters out to stir up the soup. And the last thing you want as an advertiser, well, the first thing you want is a make good and lots of free ads. That's what you're saying.
That's always the key.
But if you're being attacked or threatened by Media Matters, and I have an interview with one of the key peoples in a moment, one of the key executives, that's when you go, I'm pulling out. And Media Matters, they're not just monitoring, analyzing, and correcting.
They're activists.
They are complete activists, and they are deplatforming. And that is their mission, as you'll hear in a moment. Let's finish the CBS report.
Tech giant IBM pulled its advertising from X, citing the, quote, entirely unacceptable situation. Lionsgate Entertainment followed suit. But this was not Musk's first foray into white nationalist sentiment.
What? Yeah, now Jew hate comes from white nationalists.
Is a white nationalist all of a sudden? Well, you know, from South Africa, it's easy to get that way.
But you see the leap they took from, anti-Semite to white in the pickup truck.
Sure. In 2018, he suggested that Jews own the press. He has amplified racist memes on his site and reinstated extremist accounts.
Is there evidence of this?
It must have been a retweet. That's amplification. So, I don't know. Just let him do it.
I'll say what I want to say, and if If the consequence of that is losing money, so be it.
Musk has made no attempt.
That's from the CNBC interview. That's really good.
To walk back his latest comments.
Walk it back.
Linda Yaccarino, the CEO of X, did post that, quote, discrimination by everyone should stop across the board. This morning, even the White House waded in, saying, quote, we condemn this abhorrent.
Did she say the White House waited in? That was weird. Weighed in. It would be weighed
back.
Discrimination by everyone should stop across the board. This morning, even the White House waded in, saying, quote,
waited in. That was weird. Should be waited.
Maybe she's trying to say waded.
Yeah. Oh, waited, like wading in the waters.
No, yeah, waded in.
Went, okay.
Condemn this abhorrent promotion of anti-Semitic and racist hate
promotion.
In the strongest terms, which runs against our core values as Americans.
Yeah.
20 more seconds and then I want to go to Media Matters.
This all comes, of course, against the backdrop of a huge surge in anti-Semitic sentiment across the U.S.
From your voters.
In fact, just within the past 24 hours, the Department of Education launched discrimination investigations at 7 schools, including Cornell and Columbia, after receiving complaints about anti-Semitic and Islamophobic incidents.
Oh, let's throw some Islamophobic. I haven't seen a single Islamophobic incident. Not a single one.
They keep going back to that maniac that killed a little boy.
Oh, yeah.
Before you play the Media Matters thing, mm-hmm. you should play the PBS version of the same story, only they took it from a different perspective. They took it from the failed missile launch.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, had 33 engines on it.
It was a rousing success. What are you talking about?
33. Hold on. That's a magic number.
It was a success. I mean, it didn't get past the firmament, but yeah,
it blew up.
it hit the dome, man. It didn't make it past the firmament. All right, Musk rocket, is that the one?
Yeah.
Elon Musk's SpaceX got its biggest rocket off the ground in a test launch today, but a pair of explosions just minutes into the flight destroyed both the booster rocket and the spacecraft. SpaceX officials say it appears the craft's self-destruct system blew it up over the Gulf of Mexico after a liftoff from South Texas. The flight lasted only about 8 minutes. That's twice as long as the first test in April, which also ended with an explosion. And Elon Musk got more bad news today as Comcast joined the list of advertisers, stepping away from his social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter, over concerns that their ads were showing up next to anti-Semitic content. Other companies pausing their ads on X include IBM, Disney, and Paramount Global. Musk has been accused of tolerating and even encouraging anti-Semitic messages on X. He drew fire earlier this week for agreeing with a post accusing Jews of hating white people.
Yeah, so it's just not true. I mean, it's just not true. There's context that they've all erased. But again,
they've purposely done this. And yeah. That's why I wanted to play the PBS clip. Yeah. This is a more intellectual version of this clip you played. And it's bull crap.
Well, you know what I really like about that explosion? I think I have it here. SpaceX didn't call it an explosion. They have a term for it here.
SpaceX, however, says the test was a success and provided critical data needed to improve the launch system. It's the second test of the Starship system that experienced what SpaceX jokingly has called a rapid unscheduled disassembly this year.
Rapid unscheduled disassembly. I like that. Yeah, that's humorous. I like that. So Deutsche Welle, this was really quite interesting because, you know, you think the story is just being copy pasted here and everyone's saying he responded to a racist, anti-Semitic, hate filled tweet and said, yeah, that's true. Well, by the time it gets across the ocean to Deutsche Welle and they have to bring in the Media Matters lady. This is her name is Julie Millicam. She makes $250,000 a year, according to the Form 990 over there at Media Matters. She's decked out in some nice jewels. She's looking good. Now it's even crazier. Bring it on, Deutsche.
Since acquiring Twitter a year ago, Musk has allowed conspiracy theories and hate speech to thrive.
Thrive.
And that is having...
It's gone from amplifying to thrive. Yes, make it thrive.
Each to thrive. And that is having some consequences. Today, the EU Commission announced that it is stopping all advertising on X.
Did you know that the European Commission advertises? What are they advertising?
I have no idea. They may have ads that show up in Europe. But
New World Order coming. It's our ad.
It's already launched.
New World Order coming.
Who knows what they're advertising. All right.
Announced that it is stopping all advertising on X. It's already launched an investigation into hate speech on the social media platform. Also today, the White House condemned Elon Musk for what it called the abhorrent promotion of anti-Semitism. Now, that was in reaction to a tweet posted by Musk endorsing a conspiracy theory that Jewish communities push, quote, hatred against whites.
Now it's a conspiracy theory. It's getting better the farther away it gets from the source.
The White House invoked the 2018 mass shooting at a Pittsburgh synagogue, posting this: "It is unacceptable to repeat the hideous lie behind the most fatal act of anti-Semitism in American history at any time, let alone 1 month after the deadliest day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust."
Okay, so fatten it up. Oh, yeah.
Just 1 second. So you have to imagine being Elon Musk, richest guy, all the money in the world, you could do whatever you want. And this keeps happening to you because they're hounding you because the left is just relentless. And it comes from left, it comes from right. It's like they're pummeling you from every angle. You don't know what's going to hit you next. And it's got to be like, he seems to have enough of a sense of humor to get through it. But at the same time, it's got to be like, wow, what are these people up to? What are they trying to do to me?
I have a little bit of a thought that maybe he's just a classic heel in this game. You know, because that's kind of what it feels like. Elon, you want more rocket contracts, man? You know, you got to, like, we're going to have to take you down a notch, bro.
But the thing is, it's not like he did any. I mean, he's involved with Twitter, so he retweets a lot of stuff because he likes to promote but different ideologies. But at the same time, it's like you retweet something, and the next thing you know, you're being blasted for...
Well, how about this for a theory? This is the only theory I can come up with. He wants to be your bank. The main thing he has to do is keep people on the platform, keep them engaged in his platform, keep his platform on their mind, keep saying consistently X, formerly known as Twitter. That's free advertising. That's free rebranding for you right there until he has his bank stuff done.
Well, this is going to take him forever to get the bank thing going.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, he can probably go a long time. Now, anyway, let's get to the Media Matters lady. Because, you know, she's now talking to a journal, Deutsche Welle journalist, you know, top of the journalist pyramid.
Oh, a journalist talking to journalists.
That's the best. Well, she's not really a journalist. She's an activist. But her problem is not at all, and I'm just going to say Media Matters, they don't really care about the Jew hate. They have a different agenda.
With that, I want to bring in now Julie Millican. She's vice president of the media watchdog Media Matters for America. She's been monitoring the rise in online mis and disinformation, especially on Elon Musk's platform X, or as we used to call it, Twitter. Just how bad has it gotten on X under Elon Musk?
Oh, bad!
Wait, this guy has some funny stuff to say too.
This guy's a stooge, but
he's a good stooge.
He presents the question beyond. Are you still beating your wife?
That gets better.
On X under Elon Musk.
Since Elon Musk has taken over Twitter, he's made a series of decisions that has done nothing but increase hate, extremism, and conspiracy theories on the platform. Since his takeover, one of the first things that he did was gut his content moderation, his trust and public safety team, that made it very difficult for them to be able to enforce their terms of service. He also has explicitly stopped them from enforcing their terms of service around certain.
Why the chuckle? Why the chuckle there?
Play it again.
Explicitly stopped them from enforcing their terms of service around certain
types. He has blocked them from enforcing their terms of service.
And she's laughing about it.
Yeah. And the thing that's interesting, it's his terms of service. What do you care? And she has a reason for it, but what do you care? It's his terms of service. It's not law.
Yeah, it's not yours.
It's his terms of service. okay, let's go back.
Explicitly stopped them from enforcing their terms of service around certain types of content, including anti-Semitic content. Mm-hmm. He has reinstated extremist accounts that were previously banned on the platform. He himself has engaged repeatedly with conspiracy theorists, Woo! With people who have pushed anti-LGBTQ rhetoric, people who have endorsed anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, people who have endorsed COVID-19 misinformation. The list goes on and on. And the impact has been clear. The information ecosystem on X at this point in time is heavily skewed towards far-right extremism.
Hold on a second. First of all, the information ecosystem, since when is Twitter information? It's a social media site. It's garbage. It's what they all are. But now it's skewing towards far right. You know, the people who hate Jews.
It's a playground for these extremists.
It's a playground. Oh, wait. It's a playground. It's no longer an information ecosystem. It's a playground for these extremists. Woohoo! Let's get on the slide.
I got to throw one more little observation in. The Democrat Party is so freaked out because of all this pro-Palestinian protests at universities mostly.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
In and around there, that they think they're losing the Jewish vote. You've got to reestablish the old meme that right-wingers
yes,
are the Jew haters, not us.
Yeah, exactly. Not the kids at the university. We just have some investigations going on there. We have opened investigations, but Elon Musk, racist! Anti-Semite
is heavily skewed towards far-right extremism. It's a playground for these extremists, and it's become increasingly difficult to get any sort of reliable information on there, and instead it's just flooded with hate, bigotry, lies, and
hold on a second. Did I miss something? Was there ever a point in time where you went to Twitter to get reliable information? She's complaining about that you can't, it's increasingly hard to get reliable. It is not, look, it's not NBC or CBS or CNN or ABC or
anything,
any of this.
PBS, NPR.
It's whatever. The elite, it's not the elitist voices of America. It's Twitter. So what do you got your panties in a bunch for?
Playground for these extremists. And it's become increasingly difficult to get any sort of reliable information on there. And instead, it's just flooded with hate, bigotry, lies. And it's, you know, really unfortunate that state that we're in.
What she's saying is going to draw it. It's going to get more users.
Well, so this is what's interesting about Media Matters. They don't care about the Jew hate. They just hate Elon. And they hate Twitter because it's no longer their playground. Remember when they had the back door and the government can just call them up and say, hey, those guys are wrong. They're saying it wrong. They got misinformation. Take them off. Cut them down. Get rid of all that. Remember when journalists had the blue check marks, the earned check marks, when we ruled the roost? That's her problem. And this DW douche agrees.
With that, I want to bring in now Julie Millick.
Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. Three, this one.
Yeah, I say, you know, you can't even use it around your kids now. You have to, you know, maybe they should rename it.
What?
Stop. Listen.
Yeah, I say, you know, you can't even use it around your kids now. You have to, you know, maybe they should rename it X to triple X. I mean, it's gotten that bad.
What? And we should rename it triple X.
What is he implying? You can't use it around kids because it's loaded with porn?
Yes, it's full of porn. And she'll agree.
And Musk, you know, it's true. He will tell you that.
It's true. It's true. It should be triple X.
And this is all in the name of free speech. I'm wondering, is that
dirty free speech now should be labeled triple X?
That's really all it is. I mean, what's he trying to do by amplifying anti-Semitic tweets? I mean, I'm not asking you to get into his mind, but
please do.
Can you see a purpose here?
What's the purpose? What is the purpose?
I again, as you're saying, I can't get into Elon Musk's head. All mm-hmm. I can say is that the consequences, the financial hits that the platform has taken due to his leadership and his own behavior has not changed the way that he has acted.
It's not working. Everything we're trying is not working. We're trying to take his to give him financial hits. It's not working. Oh my God.
As a propagandist, she missed an opportunity there.
What was that?
When you say because of his leadership, you at that point, you're supposed to say, or lack thereof.
Oh, would have been so good. Yes. Yeah. Well, Linda Yaccarino is the pain sponge. She's the one that everyone gets to yell at. Okay, so again, this is very interesting. What's going on here? The financial hits, because you know, even though it's a private company, it's just obvious that how can he do this? I mean, how long can he fund this?
Has not changed the way that he has acted. I think, you know, to your earlier point about it being not a safe place for kids anymore. It used to be
not a safe place for kids anymore. I haven't heard this accusation. Is it not a safe place for kids?
I don't know this.
I don't know this either.
I don't see any of what they're talking about. It's bull crap.
Yeah, but there's reasons.
For kids anymore. It used to be, you know, while it's always had issues, no social media platform hasn't. It used to be at least a good place that you could get information.
No, it was never a good place for information.
And you could make, you know, find reliable information.
Reliable information. Really? You see, this is the problem. Media Matters is pissed because it's their job to make sure that whatever the message is from the state has to be reliable information. It's their job to make sure that everything is clean and the channel is clear. And it used to be so good before Elon. Yeah, that's why he fired all those jamokes who are in bed with the government.
Platform hasn't. It used to be at least a good place that you could get information and right. You could make, you know, find reliable information. Mm-hmm. And again, this is stuff that Musk has, you know, dismantled and instead has created an incentive structure to spread mis and disinformation. People need to buy the blue check marks that used to be used to verify accounts so that you knew that the account spreading, you know, posting was who they said that they were, that you could make a decision about whether or not they were credible. No. Now it is anybody who wants to pay for his subscription gets a check mark. They get to say what they want and have an incentive now to make things go viral because if they get engagement, they get paid. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that really have a dramatic impact in the ability to get reliable information during times of crisis, let alone just on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, I'm sorry. You need to get reliable. Whenever there's times of crisis, I go to Twitter to get my reliable information. This has always made sense to me. Let's wrap this up with her true motive.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it used to be a place where, you know, the adults would go. True. And now it's a place where
it used to be where the adults would go, John. The adults would go to Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it used to be a place where, you know, the adults would go. And now it's a place where the adults.
Because, you know, us from the mainstream media, we're the adults in the room.
Entertainment industry goes a lot of the times. Is that the only way we can hold these platforms accountable?
Oh, here comes the threat to everybody.
For what happens on their platforms. I know legally they're not liable for the content, but at the end of the day, they do provide a place
to park
all the hate.
Yes, this is true. I think at Media Matters, one of the things that we have tried to do is undermine the profit motive structure that kind of incentivizes extremism on platforms.
Hold on a second. Dedicated to comprehensively monitoring, analyzing, and correcting conservative misinformation in the U.S. media has now turned into,
I think at Media Matters, one of the things that we have tried to do is undermine the profit motive, structure that kind of incentivizes extremism on platforms, thinking that, you know, if you can stop making it so profitable for people to spread hate speech that you could kind of reduce some of at least the volume of it that is permeating on the platforms.
This doesn't sound like they're holding to their mission. They're trying to hit them in the finances.
And I think platforms themselves, most of them are responsive to this. If advertisers do not want their content, their advertisements appearing next to controversial content, they will take a stand and they should take a stand. I think in the case of Musk, he has been bleeding advertisers since he took over the platform, not just because of the decisions that he's made and what the content on the site is, but just things that he has done himself. You know, he's fairly erratic, and he has not provided a brand safe platform for advertisers. And I don't think for him that that has been, you know, a motivating factor, as I mentioned earlier, to change his behavior, to change how he's running the platforms, but it is for others. So I think that other platforms are paying attention and should.
No, pay attention, other platforms.
Oh, that's interesting. You're right. It's a threat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're gonna hit you where it hurts with your advertisers, other platforms.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, I guess it's okay for them to do that. I mean, Musk has said, "I'm filing a lawsuit." I don't know what kind of lawsuit he's going to file. They're mean. They're mean to my advertisers. I don't think he cares. He just wants to keep everybody engaged. And if it means he has to jump on that grenade every time, that's what he does. I think it's fine. I have one more of these from CNN. I just like saying Poppy Harlow.
Let's go from one hate to another.
One hate to another. Remember when hate was just not profitable? It's just profitable now.
Hate being spread online, and that is a fact that the owner of X, formerly Twitter, Elon Musk, has endorsed this claim that Jewish communities push, quote, hatred against whites. I think we can pull up the tweet, and then you can see, here's the tweet. Okay, Jewish communities have been pushing.
Stop. Is this a woman or a man talking?
It's Poppy. It's Poppy Harlow. It's a woman.
That's Poppy Harlow. She sounds like a prepubescent dude.
Well, I'm glad.
Or a kid, a teenager boy.
I'm glad we stopped the clip for that. It's Poppy,
she
man.
She does. I mean,
it's
I'm listening Poppy. To wait a minute.
I just who calls their kid Poppy? I mean, of all the names you considered for your kids.
Maybe that's a wink, wink, nudge, a Poppy. Like, hey, Poppy.
Poppy, there
you go. Like, oh, you know, Pops, hey, Pops.
And you can see, here's the tweet. Okay, Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against whites that they claim to want.
See, without the context of what that guy was responding to, it's just bad journalism.
Stop using against them, and Musk's response is, you have said the actual truth, Errol.
It continues to be outrageous and shocking, but no longer surprising that Elon Musk, who, depending on the day of the week, is the richest person on the planet, would continue to sort of spread this kind of poison and then wonder why, number one, he's losing a lot of advertisers. Number two, he's losing a lot of users. And number three,
I hate to be doing this,
but
this guy sounds just like Cavuto.
I think it is Cavuto.
Cavuto's on Fox.
Oh, who is it then? Let me see if I have a, who is
he
this?
Sounds exactly like Cavuto, and good she point. Sounds like a teenage boy.
This is Errol Lewis, I think. Errol Lewis?
Oh. And then wonder why, number one, he's losing a lot of advertisers. Number two, he's losing a lot of users. And number three, he is sort of demeaning the whole role of social media, that what started out and what used to be.
What? Demeaning the role of social media has a role?
Yes, it's to spread memes. That's the only role it has. What do you?
Well, you'd say that.
Well, that's what it is. He's demeaning the role, which I think is going to come back to, you know, news in a crisis.
But demeaning the whole role of social media, that what started out and what used to be in the pre-Musk era, sort of a great place to connect with people and get information, is now turning into something
It's become a cesspool, an enormous amount of value destruction. But because there is actually, it's important to have standards. It is important. You know, you could say you want a free speech utopia, but with all of a sudden you pull the goalie when it comes to actually tracking disinformation and misinformation.
Pull the goalie?
Isn't that a sex term for removing the condom?
Oh, I've never heard that, but it makes nothing but sense for it to be such.
Hold on, I think that's pull the goalie. I've heard this.
Take off the condom, dude.
Here, Urban Dictionary, pulling the goalie. Usually in reference to a married couple, pulling the goalie means to stop the use of contraceptive devices in the hopes of conceiving a child, derived from the hockey term. What does this guy do? What is he may have kids soon. Congratulations. I don't know,
maybe this guy's thinking about two things at the same time. Maybe he's like concerned his wife can't conceive.
Maybe he's just a hockey player. I don't know.
That's possible. It seems unlikely. This but Occam's razor. Like one.
It has become a cesspool, an enormous amount of value destruction. But because cesspool. There is actually, it's important to have standards. It is important. You know, you could say you want a free speech utopia, but if all of a sudden you pull the goalie when it comes to actually tracking disinformation and misinformation, and you have an enormous amount of sort of bots and trolls dominating a platform, then real civic conversation goes down. And Musk is actually, you know, showing his cards as to what's happened with this platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they show you who they are,
believe them.
Believe them.
Oh, yeah. When they show you who they are, believe them. Believe him. Believe him. So this, of course, has started quite a lot of discussions with social media platforms, including the TikToks.
A lot of conversations amongst my Jewish friends.
Oh, that's not what I was looking for. Sorry about that. This one, here it is.
All of this puts yet another spotlight on the issue of moderating content at a time of war. The New York Times is now reporting overnight this letter to America came up during a private meeting Wednesday night in which Jewish celebrities and creators confronted TikTok executives about doing more to fight anti-Semitism on that platform, according to a recording obtained by the Times. TikTok tells us in a statement, leadership has been meeting with creators and experts and others for feedback on how TikTok can remain a place for community, discovery, and sharing authentically.
Hey, man, don't get any of that Elon juice on us, man. We're good. We're good, bro. We're good with you. We're good with you. We don't want any bad stuff. You know, was it not a note? No, you said on the last show, something came up about, it must have been a clip, that kids were getting their news from TikTok.
Right. So yes, somebody made the comment that kids are getting their news from TikTok. And then I think jointly we decided that from the kids' perspective, the gossip and crap that's on TikTok represents news.
So we got a note from one of our Gen Z producers I'd like to share, because the Gen Zer also gave us some examples. I'm a 21-year-old listener of the show, not a douchebag, nice, and an avid TikTok user. As you and John have pointed out numerous times on the show, much of my generation gets their news and information about current event sources on TikTok. Although many media outlets such as Sky News, CBS, MSNBC, and all the usual suspects put their coverage of current events on TikTok in short and often dumbed down clips, they don't seem to gain much traction. Instead, certain people on TikTok have become what I like to call iPhone journalists, who put out rapid-fire breakdowns of current events and developments that are catering to Gen Z's incredibly short attention spans. I've included a couple links to some examples. These individuals are essentially an influencer version of large news conglomerates, but since they are just one person, seem more trustworthy and honest than traditional media, kind of like your buddy who's in the know and is just relaying information. All of this, in my opinion, has resulted in much of my generation developing a false sense of being informed, and many of them just having a surface-level understanding of things. In summary, TikTok is saturated with anecdotal information in very short, rapid-fire format that is presented as fact, while almost no real evidence is being cited as source. And when evidence is being cited, it's just an article from a big media outlet. And he gave us three examples, all about a minute. Would you like to hear some?
I would love it.
Okay, we kick it off with the first iPhone journalist on TikTok, Nick Jackson.
This is everything that happened on the news today, but it's going to be simplified in 60 seconds. People are now mind blown after discovering what the white dots on strawberries actually are. A lot of people don't know this, but strawberries are actually not scientifically a fruit or a berry. A lot of people think that the little white dots that are all over strawberries are the seeds, but the little white dots are actually the fruit part of the plant. That's crazy. Citizen scientists spot a close approaching asteroid professionals might have missed. Basically, there's been a lot of studies going on. They've opened this up to the public so that regular people can like monitor this information. And they caught this asteroid because of a blurring line in one of the images. And obviously it's a moving object because of the exposure. This asteroid is not going to be anywhere close to hitting us at all. So don't worry. Time travel has just been completely ruled out for good by scientists. The whole theory with this article is that scientists are saying that time is always moving forward, therefore there's no way to take it back or move backwards. Sounds weird. DoorDash is now issuing a strong warning against customers who do not choose to tip. They basically made an announcement and said that if you do not tip on your orders, they're less likely to be picked up and your order might take forever to get to you. Obviously, with all of the fees on DoorDash and everything, a lot of people are upset, but a lot of people also do agree with this. So let me know what you think. An expert just discovered that a Venus flytrap can eat human tissue. And if you're like me, you're wondering how in the world they tested that. The man who owns this plant has a case of athlete's foot and he took a chunk of his toe and gave it to the plant and it did digest it.
Hold on. I love this.
Talk.
All right, the next one. Now, this guy does under the desk news. He has his hair all spiked up, kind of like Something About Mary. You know, with the jizz in his hair all spiked up, and he's on the ground under his desk, hence under the desk news, delivering the news to us. And in this case, it's important news about climate change.
Climate change is messing up the beer, y'all. Yes, those frothy IPAs and European pilsners are hitting a wall and in decline, and it's all because of climate change. A new study shows that European hops, which gives beer its bitter taste, is in decline. Hops is one of the four crucial ingredients to making beer. And now, hotter, longer, drier summers are severely affecting the quality of that crop. And it's going to lead to beer being more expensive and not as good tasting. And I can't go much lower, all right? I got priced out of whiskey when that market got super hot. We got priced out of wine when the wildfires in California started eradicating whole vineyards and that drove up the cost of wine. And now beer too. The Inflation Reduction Act is the largest investment in climate action in U.S. history. It includes $369 billion in investments for climate and clean energy projects, mostly in tax credits towards renewable energy that can help us be less dependent on fossil fuels. But does he have anything there to protect the brewskis? Because I hope so. We laugh so that we don't cry. I mean, this is an incredibly serious topic, and weather having a massive effect on our agriculture is not funny. Despite the recent acceleration of climate change, we are still in the driver's seat and we still can make change. So I know it can be really depressing out there when you keep hearing bad news, but we have to keep trying. The future of climate is still up to us to decide.
Okay. And the final...
I have to make a comment first.
Yes.
First of all, the guy's not gay enough.
We need to coach him.
So the second thing is the hops are very weird. We used to have some of the biggest hop... places were in, I think, Marin or Sonoma County used to be.
Really?
In fact, a town called Hopland is in there. And it used to be where, and the hop kilns are still around from the, I think, from the late 1800s. And hops are interesting because they kind of go into it. You grow them a lot and they wear out their welcome. Happens in the next, you can't grow hops around here anymore, even though it has nothing to do with climate.
Are you disputing climate change?
Wow. I'm disputing the thesis. So hops are now, I hear about hops being grown here and there and at places where you never heard of them. They're all rare and great, but no, the hops, anything about hops is you're dealing with a screwball plant.
Our final clip is only 31 seconds long and it's from an old favorite, who we've kind of lost track of. Do we remember Philip DeFranco?
Philip DeFranco?
This is when I want to say, what was the video thing that Vine. Twitter had Vine.
Oh, Vines, yeah.
The short video. And this,
that was going to be the big killer.
Well, it would have been.
They couldn't stay with it.
It was TikTok until they didn't like it. But the road is littered with mistakes like that. Philip DeFranco was this fast talking, he was one of the first guys to do the chop cut of all of his stuff. When you hear him, maybe you'll remember. And he is now on TikTok doing his shtick.
China and Australia had a meeting and their leaders were essentially rizzing each other up. Xi told the Australian Prime Minister that Tasmanian devils were cute, and Albanese responded by saying that they weren't as cute as pandas. And then Xi apparently said that not all pandas are cute, citing the Kung Fu Panda movies. The two also reportedly debated wine and its quality, with Xi saying that he visited New Zealand and that the wine was good, and Albanese saying that he asserted that the best red wine comes from Australia, and Albanese saying the exchange was very warm. And I mean, I heard they may have even sat next to each other in the booth. And while so far there's no word on if a second date will be happening, follow to stay in the loop.
There you go. There you go.
It's terrible.
Yeah. That's what, and I'm just taking our Gen Z boots on the ground at his word, that that is what this generation is using for news.
Those guys have, even that last guy, I'm sure their numbers are huge.
Oh, of course. Especially Philip DeFranco. He's had quite a following for a long time. Yeah. And it's great. It's easy. Oh, now I know what's going on. That's good. It's so good. So, and Elon.
Okay, well, I hope you have a way to segue yes. out of that, because I can't think of anything.
Well, I can only segue into Altman, Sam Altman.
Oh, yes. I think I have some Altman clips.
Yes, I want to start with your clips, but I have a question first for you. And Ask John, we don't have clips for that. It's an Ask John. And I just want to ask you, as someone who has reported extensively, been around, been in the milieu, so to speak, of Silicon Valley and Silicon Valley companies, can you recall a time when a board fired a CEO of a company that went from zero to, some say, $80 billion valuation, with 49% ownership by Microsoft, who invested $10 billion, which helped with the valuation, without even telling their largest shareholder, and then apparently is at trying to get him back? Have you ever heard of this happening in Silicon Valley?
Not with the part about not telling the largest shareholder, but the firing of Steve Jobs is very similar when he was first fired from Apple.
Yeah, but it wasn't like Apple had problems. OpenAI is nothing but hockey stick valuation.
So we're having dinner last Friday, and JC is in the AI business with some company he's working with, which is an AI company. Mm-hmm. So he would have a better handle on this. And he says nobody really knows. They think it has something to do with the transfer from being a private company to a public company, and something was screwed up in such a way that it was like there's some legal issues that were discovered because Altman didn't know what he was doing at that point to help that transition. That's what the rumor is. And so he had to go because of due diligence. He had to get rid of him because he's made some horrible mistake in the process.
It sounds like he lied.
That would be the mistake.
Well, the board's language in their press release was that he had not been consistently candid with the board, which I think is his couched code language for he lied. And then we asked him about it, and he lied again. He lied to us. Yeah. Have you looked at the board? Have you looked at the people on the board?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you know who's on there? There's a couple we'll talk about in a minute. Heard. Remember that guy who was like, oh, yeah, I was CIA special agent. He ran for president for a little bit. Black guy from Texas.
What's he doing on there?
Yeah, we'll talk about that if we
we'll talk about that, but just you might as well get these clips out of the way so we have a little background.
Yes, okay.
The public face of the AI boom is now jobless.
Who is this voice?
This is one of the new NPR guys. Now, my understanding is, I don't know this to be a fact, this is just supposition, but before you get it, now when they hire you at NPR, they actually take you into an operating room and cut your balls off.
CEO Sam Altman co-founded OpenAI, which released the powerful chatbot ChatGPT last year. It revolutionized the tech world. But late yesterday, without providing many details, the company said he'd been fired. The announcement leaves a lot of questions unanswered. NPR tech correspondent Bobby Allen is on the line to try and help us sort through some of them. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
So AI and ChatGPT have gotten a lot of press, but remind us about this key person here, Sam Altman. Who is he?
Sure. Yeah, Sam Altman is this 30.
Oh, man.
Sam Altman is this 38-year-old tech executive who co-founded OpenAI about 8 years ago with a handful of others, including Elon Musk, actually. And the idea was to create a nonprofit research lab focused on ethically developing artificial intelligence, almost like an answer to the profit-driven ethos of big tech. And it remained mostly quiet until last year when AI burst onto the scene, as you mentioned, with ChatGPT. It quickly became the fastest-growing app ever. It sparked debates on all sorts of industries, from publishing to education to healthcare, about how the technology could be harnessed to upend how we are live and work every day. And, you know, while ChatGPT became one of the most viral tech products in history, Sam Altman was traveling around the world and talking about AI. He testified before Congress about the need for AI regulations. He became the focal point of attacks from AI skeptics. In short, Scott, he was the most sought after and one of the most powerful executives in Silicon Valley.
What do we know about why he was pushed out?
Yesterday, the company's board released a statement saying Altman, quote, was not consistently candid in his communication with the board of directors, but they stopped short on giving details. Sam Altman was fired immediately. Now, this was a surprise to the company's investors, employees, and even Altman himself was taken aback.
I'm shocked. I've been fired. I'm taken aback.
What I'm seeing everywhere is that they are working this weekend to get him, to have him come back to the company. I don't know if that's true.
Well, if that's, that would be because Microsoft
said, what are you doing?
Stepped in.
Yeah.
Stepped in and said, hey, you want us just to, I don't know what kind of a threat they can make. They already put their money in, but they made some sort of threat. And that's my guess. And now they're scrambling. It seemed pretty cavalier the way they did this. Now, this supposed, when I observed this, and some people have noted it, that this was almost immediately after he gave the speech at the APCA big meetup in San Francisco with Xi and Biden and the rest of them.
Now, was there a speech that was public? Because I don't recall.
I've been trying to find it, but I can't find it because maybe he said something in there that was not.
No,
that was. I don't know.
Well. I have my thoughts. I think Buzzkill Jr. is right. The one thing that was just my initial thought, which there may be some truth to it, is, oh my God, all his demos have been rigged. The shit doesn't work. That's the first thing I thought.
Well, that's the first thing, as someone with any experience with Silicon Valley, yes. That would be like, the top
oh my
of the
God.
List.
Oh my God, it doesn't actually work. The second thing
but
I thought.
But the counter to that is, so what? When's that ever stopped anybody?
Ah. Well, that brought me to a different let me play the second clip. You have another clip here?
Yeah, let's go on with the second part.
You know, this all circles the question, okay, what exactly did he do wrong? And that's something we just can't answer right now, Scott. Now, I also heard from the same sources that Altman and the board got into a disagreement shortly before his ouster over the balance between keeping OpenAI products safe and, you know, pushing them out to the public as fast as possible. In other words, you know, Sam Altman wanted to keep releasing more and more of these powerful tools. And some board members were worried that he was downplaying the risk to society. Yeah. But, you know, I have that confirmed. That particular disagreement is what triggered his firing. But Scott, it's really hard to overemphasize when I say that it's the chatter of the tech industry right now.
Okay. That is, in fact, what I think is exactly what happened. The board is very different. So first of all, this started as a nonprofit whose entire mission was to protect. In fact, let me pull up the OpenAI Form 990. To describe, here it is. This is from the IRS tax filing. OpenAI's mission is to build general purpose artificial intelligence that benefits humanity unconstrained by a need to generate financial return. OpenAI believes that artificial intelligence technology has the potential to have a profound positive impact on the world. So the company's goal is to develop and responsibly deploy safe AI technology. No pulling the goalie. Ensuring that its benefits are as widely and evenly distributed as possible. So this was the original. There is a nonprofit. This is the nonprofit. It controls the for-profit entity, which is what Microsoft invested in. In fact, if you look at OpenAI's fundraising, they were bringing in tens of millions of dollars. I'm going to scroll to that page real quick here. I can tell you over the past 5 years. Hold on. Where is it here? Here it is. 2017, 33 million. I'm rounding up. 2018, 49 million. 2019, 33 million. 2020, 2 million. 2021, $3,000. So the nonprofit just, you know, basically is just a board. Reid Hoffman's on the board.
Trump hater.
Trump. Well, it's ideologues. I'm going to give you the whole breakdown of board members, directors. We have, I gotta zoom in a little bit here. This is from their Form 990, so it may have changed. Siobhan Zillis, Gregory Brockman, who retired. He quit. He says, "Hey man, you're firing Sam. I'm out." Will Hurd, Reid Hoffman, Holden Karnofsky, Adam D'Angelo, Tasha McCauley, and Helen Toner. Now, these two are the giveaways. They are both students of Oxford and a literal product of effective altruism. Do you remember effective altruism?
I think we broke them down once before.
Oh, I've gone very deep on effective altruism. Because this is exactly what this company was a part of.
What are the last names of these two
Helen? I have all this information for you. If you want to look it up while we're talking, that's fine. It's Helen Toner. She's the one that I'm going to focus on. T-O-N-E-R. And Tasha McCauley. Helen Toner was at the Effective Altruism Center, part of Oxford University in 2016. I have a little clip so you can just listen to her babbling about. She's a young woman.
Cool. So as I'm sure you all know by now, effective altruism is about doing the most good you can with the resources available to you. And one strategy that gets talked about a lot within EA is earning to give, which is, you know, increasing the amount of money you have access to, which is one resource. So you can do more good with that. But working in and helping lead and helping to grow an organization is, I think, a way to grow most other resources that you have access to. So by doing that, you can grow the amount of time, talent, attention, energy that you have access to. So my hope is that this talk is relevant for anyone who might want to found a nonprofit, found a company, lead a team, grow a team, work in a team, any of that kind of thing. That's my hope. That said, I'm not focusing specifically on collaborating in small groups. So for the Berkeley students among you, I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you everything you need to know about how to do group projects painlessly, but I can't. The most I can wish you is professors who let you choose your groups, or at least give you a peer feedback form.
So keep this British accent in mind as she was speaking at, this was actually the Effective Altruism Group at Berkeley, your neighborhood, 2016. Here's the same woman speaking 5 days ago at the 80,000 Hours Institute, which is another effective altruism outfit.
Yeah, it does seem like there's something quite odd to talk about.
This is not her, obviously.
What it really emphasizes an arms race in the technology that, as far as I can tell, is predominantly used now by kind of companies to like suggest videos for you to watch and like music that you're really going to like, far more than it's being used for military purposes, at least as far as I can see at the moment. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree. And I think also, in general, people, again, with the overestimating the short-term effects.
This is the same woman as this.
I'm not focusing specifically on collaborating in small groups. Right now, the machine learning systems that we have seem so poorly suited to any kind of battlefield use because...
Does she have electroshock therapy between then and now?
I'm telling you, she's been sucked into Silicon Valley. She's been molded. Listen to this.
Well, her voice cadence is part of a different milieu than the original voice cadence.
Yes.
And the British accent's gone.
Yes. Yeah, it's completely gone. She has morphed into this AI expert. But she still comes from the effective altruism background, which is not Sam Altman. Sam Altman, he comes from Y Combinator. Sam Altman, he's the guy that said, hey, remember when Elon left? Elon left out of disgust. He said, hey, man, you're not doing what AI is going to eat the world. This is what effective altruism is about. They believe that it is their job to put millions of dollars into nonprofits or into policymakers' pockets, politicians,
so that we can make regulations like the executive order that they got out of Biden to protect human beings who've not even been born yet from the evils of the world. I'm going to remind you of this with a clip from episode 1605. You might remember the France 24 techno douche. And that is exactly the type of person who is involved in what this techno douche that France 24 is going to explain to us. And he's going to connect it to some other techno douches. This is how we connect Sam Bankman-Fried and AI with the term effective altruism.
Joining me on the set is our technology editor, Peter O'Brien. Hello to you, Peter. What can you tell us about the surprising links between these two events, SBF and the UK's AI summit? What do they have in common?
Yeah, I was wondering how we could link these two together. And actually, there's a simple way to do it. You may not have heard of it, but it's the social movement called effective altruism. It's boffin filled and it's increasingly powerful. Now that power took a hit when Sam Bankman-Fried, the most high profile effective altruist and one of the movement's biggest donors, fell from grace. But as we've seen from the AI summit in Bletchley Park this week, we can see that effective altruist talking points are still making their way up the policy agenda. One in particular, the potential for artificial intelligence to cause catastrophic harm, a risk that would not be on the policy table at all were it not for the work of effective altruists. Now, I should add a disclaimer here that I've been briefly involved in the movement in France and donate to some charities that are popular among effective altruists.
Now, he's never going to mention them, but what he's saying is effective altruism, people donate a lot of money for the good of humanity, for the good cause, because we care about the world. That's what Sam Bankman-Fried really should be accused of doing. Thanks to the egging on of his parents, he was literally giving it to his mother for effective altruism, which does a lot of really good things, including this whole AI scam.
Now, how did we get to the point where effective altruism is producing one of the biggest frauds in history? It's also becoming a major policy debate.
So policy is code for politics.
The only way to really explain this is to take you back through the intellectual history of the movement. So the founding idea of effective altruism is simple. And it's persuasive. In order to do the most good with your time and money, you shouldn't just think about your close circle of friends and family. You shouldn't just think about your community, your country. You should really be taking into consideration all humans in the world, because we all suffer in a similar way.
If Trump's president, we all suffer in a similar way.
A classic example of putting this into practice would be donating money to a local fire station.
No, don't do that. Don't donate. No, local.
Literally happen to think global, act local. No.
Yeah, hold on. It's almost here. Hey, local. No, come on, France douche.
Well, it would be using the same amount to buy much more mosquito nets to protect people from malaria.
There you go. Mosquito nets.
But rather than just caring about humans, effective altruists quickly realized that the same principle should be applied to anything that can suffer, right? So that could be an animal. That could be a wild animal. That could even be a human not alive today.
A future human.
But in the future. So that's where we get to this situation where there are lots of effective altruists today who are also long-termists. That means people who are concerned with the welfare of humans and animals that don't yet exist but could exist in the future.
So this is the idea.
Oh my God! You're getting clip of the day for this.
Thank you.
Piece of shit.
Oh, you had to put that in there.
I had to end it somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
So here's what I think happened. Most of them are these effective altruists. They totally believe in this stuff. And by the way, there's a lot of weird sex stuff going on in this. The Economist.
Oh, I'll bet.
The Economist did articles on it. They have these polycules, the same thing Sam Bankman-Fried had in the Bahamas. This is going on in San Francisco. This is Time Magazine. Effective altruism promises to do good better. These women say it has a toxic culture of sexual harassment and abuse. And let's see. She noticed the EA members in the Bay Area seem to work together, live together, and sleep together, often in polyamorous sexual relationship with complex professional dynamics. Three times in 1 year, she says, men at informal EA gatherings tried to convince her to join these so-called polycules, When she said she wasn't interested, they would shame her or try to pressure her, casting monogamy as a lifestyle governed by jealousy and polyamory as a more enlightened and rational approach. And so Sam Bankman-Fried was...
I love these old sales. These pictures go back to the 50s.
Well, but Bankman-Fried was... I mean, and these women, they also were connected to Alameda. The Alameda people came from this Oxford effective altruism group, and they were using Alameda as the gateway from stealing the billions of dollars from investors and giving it to effective altruism. There you have Sam Bankman-Fried's parents who were like, oh yes, effective altruism, put me on the payroll for $1 million and put millions of dollars into my super PAC so we can stop Donald Trump to protect future humans. So this,
oh, yeah, he's a threat to democracy, you know that.
I mean, it's unbelievable how deep this goes. And I think that after the blow-up of Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX, like, holy crap, we got a good thing going here. We can't have Altman, who went on stage, I think it's before the Xi meeting, and said, oh, at Dev Day, hey, you know, it's not all that dangerous. You can have an app in my app store. And they went, oh, my God, everyone's going to find out this thing is lame. This thing is a scam. This thing is no, it doesn't really do that much. Listen to, if you want to listen to this toner woman a little more, she's talking about AI. And I mean, she had the, she here, she went to.
Do we have pictures of these people?
See yeah. Look yeah, like? She looks like a cute British, you know, pale chick. Helen Toner is a member of the National Security College Futures Council as director of strategy at Georgetown's Center for Security and Emerging Technology, Spook. She previously worked as a senior research analyst at the Open Philanthropy Project, where she advised policymakers and grantmakers on AI policy and strategy. Between working at Open Philanthropy, which I'm sure is not a Soros deal, sounds like it.
I don't think it is. No. I'm looking at the background of this stuff too, and it seems to all stem from Sam Bankman-Fried's money.
Yes. Listen to this. Between working at Open Philanthropy,
Bankman-Fried must have been a moron.
He was a moron. He was an autist. They abused him. He's in jail for being abused by mainly his parents. Yeah, between working at Open...
No, all these other people should be in jail with him.
Open Philanthropy and joining CSAT, Helen lived in Beijing, studying the Chinese AI ecosystem as a research affiliate at Oxford University's Center for the Governance of AI. Helen has written for Foreign Affairs and other outlets on the national security implications of
Foreign
AI.
Foreign Affairs, CFR.
Mm-hmm, and machine learning for China and the United States, as well as testifying before the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. Maybe that's where Altman said something wrong. Helen holds a BSc in chemical engineering and a diploma in languages from the University of Melbourne. So this is a programmed... woman.
So,
listen to her here.
Facts. Right now, the machine learning systems that we have seem so poorly suited to any kind of battlefield use because, you know, battlefields are characterized by having highly dynamic environments, highly unpredictable. There's an adversary actively trying to undermine your perception and your decision-making ability. Wow. And the machine learning systems that we have are just so far from ready for an environment like that. Really are pretty brittle. They're pretty easy to spoof. They do unpredictable things for confusing reasons. So I think really centering AI weapons as the core part of what we're talking about is definitely premature.
Sounds a little bit, maybe Sam was overhyping this stuff, and everything is like a cult. Like, you have to tithe, you know, if you make under $50,000 a year, you have to give 1% to the effective altruism charities, the approved charities like the mosquito nets.
No, this is a cult.
If you make up to $50 million, you should be giving away 53% of all of your money. It's a cult. It's a sex cult. These people are weird, and they're on the board.
Weird.
And they're on the board. And Altman, and now I'm actually thinking Altman might be a pretty good guy because he's like, hey, I can make money with this thing. We got Microsoft in here. We got billions of dollars. Okay, you can have a little bit for your
He's probably, you know where he's going to end up?
Dead?
Microsoft.
Yeah.
And Microsoft sucks guys like that up like there's no tomorrow. He's going to be at Microsoft.
So the CTO who took over Her name is Mira Murati. And I have a little bio here of Mira Murati. She was the chief technology officer. She developed ChatGPT, DALL-E. And if you here's what's cool. Mira Murati, M-I-R-M-U-R-A-T-I. If you go to
M-I-R-M-U-R-A-T-I. M-I-R-M.
Okay, hold on. M-I-R-A, Mira Murati, M-U-R-A-T-I. And if I go to ChatGPT, where I am right now, and I type in, who is Mira Murati? It comes back, as of my last knowledge update in January 2022, I do not have specific information about an individual named Mira Murati. She's the chief technology officer of the company that makes this thing.
Have you seen pictures of her?
Yeah. I got a picture here. So she has explicitly filtered herself out.
That's very funny.
It's suspicious is what it is.
You think?
So there is something very deep, very wrong. And I have a boots on the ground from one of our producers who says, he sent me a really long note. I'm going to take a few paragraphs, more than you ever wanted to know about effective altruism, because he was a part of it, but he left a few years back because he says it got weird. Effective altruism falls out of a community called Less Wrong. Less Wrong is best described as a male self-improvement cult for autistic Jewish programmers. Dude, this is so good. How about that? Sam Bankman-Fried, anybody? It was started by a fellow named Eliezer Yudowsky, who drew inspiration from rabbinical teachings and combined it with, for lack of a better word, extremely autistic navel gazing in order to write a bunch of guides on cognitive biases, human failings, and how to overcome them. The Less Wrong community has a few foibles. One of them is that they are way too naive and trusting. So over the past 5 to 10 years, they've been co-opted by the same trans-Marxist woke stuff that everyone else has been captured by. So now AI risk has been co-opted from what it actually was to how do we make AI not right-wing? This makes so much sense. When EA started, the sales pitch was pretty simple. Most charity is bullcrap. You donate to some local charity. They spend 80% of the money on overhead and the remaining 20% of the money on, say, a statue in the town square. If you really like statues and wasting money, that's cool. But if you're someone who really wants to do the utilitarian best thing with your money, that's not cool. In any case, this sort of arguing over what the real utility function is was the best vector by which politicization came in. Then AI started becoming a big deal, and the powers that be noticed that this organization has spent the last 15 years basically declaring themselves the experts of AI. This is where all these weird children come from. That's my editorializing. The powers that be did what they do and co-opted everything. Most of the Less Wrong EA people were too naive and trusting to understand what happened and got snowed. Then SBF happened, and that takes us to where we are today. I think I might have written to you about them before. This is the community that came up with the biohacking, the idea that a bunch of sad, lonely men who can't get dates could date each other if only they could reverse conversion therapy themselves into being gay. And then there's the last thing that I'm sure, you know, you said Microsoft, but I have a report here. Altman has been looking to raise tens of billions of dollars from Middle Eastern sovereign wealth funds to create an AI chip startup, according to a person with knowledge of the investment proposal. Altman was also courting SoftBank Group chairman Miyoshi-san for a multi-billion-dollar investment in a new company to make AI-oriented hardware in partnership with formal Apple designer Johnny Ive. The board may have been put off by Altman raising funds off of OpenAI's name and these new companies not sharing the same governance model as OpenAI. I think that's what happened here. You've got just Altman, who's a commercial guy, and he's like, you know, let's just go. This is, we got something here. It's not great, but it does fun stuff. It's a cool chat bot. We're hot. We can make billions and billions of dollars. He had zero equity in OpenAI. This was his chance. And then
the polycules went, no, we can't have that. It's not good for humanity. And then, you know, of course, then they pulled the plug on this guy and all the other commercial smart people in the company. Well, yeah, we're walking. Goodbye. You're firing Altman. I will just go to his next company. I think that's kind of what JC said is probably right. But these
people. Yeah, but I mean, that is a definite possibility.
But these people who are on the board and these effective altruists. Well, they've got to go.
Those people are just, you know.
But I think there's a lot of people in government.
There's a lot of these creeps that are all over Silicon Valley and elsewhere that are really, they're all, I think you nailed it, sex cultists.
Yes. Yes.
And you look at these people and they all, you're right, there's some very pleasant looking women.
Mm-hmm.
Who look like they easily be part of any sex cult that's ever been around.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, including Marathi.
Yes.
And yes. A bunch of dorks.
Yeah.
It's perfect. That's exactly what sex cults tend to be.
Yeah.
And one or two charismatic males.
Well, it's like 75% male, and these guys are making out. They got like chicks everywhere, living it with them. I mean, that Time magazine is horrible. I don't even want to repeat some of the things that happened to these women in these polycules. It's really bad.
Polycules.
You know, they brought in some Silicon Valley mediator when there was a sexual harassment claim. And this was right around the time of Me Too, the Harvey Weinstein stuff. And she actually was in a relationship with the guy who was being accused. And then she said, oh, well, you shouldn't go to the authorities. That's not good. That could break up the polycule. I mean, wow, just wow. And I think Elon Musk is one of these EAs.
With all the different women he has and the rules for dating him and all the rest, you think?
And his whole AI is going to eat the world. He's one of them. He's one of these... Or at least he's feigning to be one, an effective altruist.
Even though there's no true evidence.
No, but I remember listening to the whole Sam Altman interview on Joe Rogan. I was so underwhelmed. I'm like, everything was like, yeah, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be, yeah, it'd be kind of cool. And Joe's like, whoa, we should have an AI president. It's all going to happen. It'll be great. Well, Joe was probably token up a bit.
He's excitable.
He's excitable. And Altman was just, no. And, you know, he's the perfect Silicon Valley douche. He's perfect. He's the messiah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But this board and this open AI, I mean, I think they're toast. It'll be just the second in a... And this is all tied to politics.
Isn't it kind of public domain already?
Yeah. I mean, I have models running. That's another part of the problem. And I'm sure it was effective altruists at Meta who released these models in open source so that I can now run 10 of them on my machine here at home, because they were thinking exactly this. Oh, we can't let someone like Sam Altman, you know, commercialize this too much. I guarantee you, if we dig deep enough, we can find out that it was effective altruists who did this, long-termists, which is just insane. This is transhumanism in a way. These are transhumanist people. And now they're trans-Maoists and it's sickening.
That's disturbing, maybe.
Yeah, well, disturbing. I'm just blown away by it. And then these, the politicians, we'll make some legislation. We'll put some policy in there. Just give me $10 million. There's Sam Bankman-Fried was giving money to all kinds of people on the right and the left. Oh yeah. Oh no, we agree with you, Sam. Sure. That's what went wrong. And you're right. That kid was an autistic, just an autist. It doesn't mean he wasn't smart, but yeah, I can just see all those guys at Sequoia Capital. He was playing games during the pitch meeting. The guy's a genius.
This is totally the anyone should read Jerzy Kosinski's Being There.
Oh, yes.
Or see the movie with Peter Sellers, and you can understand this.
Yeah.
The idiots who misinterpret things. You know, he's disheveled. He looks like shit. He's crapping his pants, and he's playing a game during a pitch meeting. Must be a genius.
And, you know, with all this military-industrial complex stuff being woven throughout this board, including Herd, you got to think that, you know, the military is all, you know, I don't know, man. The more I read, the more I see, the more I'm thinking, yeah, it's good. You know, it can write some code. It can do that for you. Sure. It's great at Bible scripture. You know, it does other things quite well. But I listen to these podcasts where people are trying out the latest models. And, you know, I fed a whole book into it. And after, you know, 18,000 tokens, then it starts to forget stuff in the middle. I mean, I know people who use this stuff for spreadsheets, and then it's like, well, one time out of 50, it gets the calculation wrong, but so we'll use it anyway. It's like, what? Use a spreadsheet. It's just not an excellent product. It's cool, and it can kind of simulate a person.
Does art.
And I think actually Altman's idea is of an app store is probably pretty good. You know, let me create an app, and my app would be all the no agenda information. So we feed the transcripts and all the articles into it. And then you can get replies as it would have been discussed on No Agenda. And part of it will be just as wrong as we've been wrong. But at
Which
least
is very rare. You're giving it a lot of credit.
What's rare?
When have we been wrong?
Never. We're never wrong. Anyway, here's the ABC with some AI news. Our buddy, Becky Worley.
A new report on the safety of artificial intelligence. Nonprofit media reviewer Common Sense Media has a new rating system for different AI-based products and how safe or unsafe they may be for your kids. Becky Worley breaks it all down.
A new AI rating system created by nonprofit Common Sense Media. It evaluates a wide range of AI products with varying degrees of interactivity, looking at privacy, bias, and misinformation in apps commonly used by children. The best reviews went to AI products for education, like Ello, which uses speech recognition to help children read from a limited array of books. Apps offering wider services were less favorably rated.
Our thanks to Becky Worley for that. And with AI increasingly present in apps used by kids, Common Sense says that you can...
Yeah, the more I think about it, I think our producer is spot on. That the only thing that the politicians really want right now from AI is to make it spit out Democrat talking points and don't give anything right wing. You know, don't promote anything conservative. Make it all trans-Marxist, trans-Maoist. That's all they care about. Let's just make sure the answers are correct, okay?
You can take a look at Meet Our Team, the executive leadership team of this Common Sense Media, and you can just take a look at them, and you can say, yep.
Yep.
To what you just said.
Yep. It's a big group, too, Common Sense.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's a big group.
And they all look like Democrats.
Yeah, it's a big group.
Well, that reminds me, since you're bringing that up, let's go to the real threat. You're overlooking all this.
Oh, no, there's an actual threat somewhere.
Yeah, that's you know that Ali Akbar, whatever that guy's name is on MSNBC?
Ali Velsher?
No, that's it.
Ari Velsher. No, is it? No, Ali.
No,
Ali Velsher. Is it Ali Velsher?
No, yeah, that guy. Right. Well, he's taking over for O'Donnell because he's on vacation. Because, of course, it's vacation time for everybody but us.
Oh, yeah.
Even though nobody thanks us for it. But let's go with MSNBC. Ali Akbar on Greatest Threat.
We are facing a number of historic challenges. The war between Israel and Hamas, with thousands of Palestinian civilians caught in the middle of what could become a much bigger war.
Yeah.
The ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine.
What?
Deepening fears of whether China might invade Taiwan while America is indirectly supporting two major wars. Extreme political polarization around the world and here in America, not to mention a climate crisis that threatens the habitability of our very planet.
Whoa!
So much is going wrong. So much threat around us.
Be afraid.
Which one is the most serious threat to global stability?
None of the ones I mentioned.
Uh-oh.
The greatest threat to the stability of the world right now remains a twice impeached, multiply indicted former president of this nation. Donald Trump is the greatest threat the world faces.
All right, there you go. You nailed it on that one. Clip of the day. Who's saying you that? You don't watch MSNBC. Stay out of my turf.
I heard about this clip and I tracked it down.
Stay out of my turf. What are you doing on my grounds? Go away. You're MSNBC.
So the greatest threat facing humanity and the world.
It's a dub. Now, he didn't have that. Let's just get that. He didn't have the whole lineup. He said a double. Let me listen.
Mentioned. The greatest threat to the stability of the world right now remains a twice impeached, multiply indicted former president of this nation.
Twice impeached, multiple indicted former president of this nation.
Donald Trump is the greatest threat the world faces.
Yes.
Orange!
The whole world faces this threat, ladies and gentlemen.
He does a follow-up if you want to hear more.
Yes, I
and
do.
And then I cut it off because it's just too much.
Oh, it's good.
Donald Trump is the greatest threat the world faces. Here's why.
Here's why.
Those real global crises I mentioned actually hang in an extremely delicate balance with President Biden's steady hand on the wheel.
Oh.
As chaotic as things may seem right now, ask yourself, how much worse do they get with Donald Trump in the White House? He's on the case, Joe Biden is, with Ukraine. He's redeveloping a relationship with Xi in China. He sure has annoyed a lot of people at home with his Israel policy, but he has created more space for an American president to influence Israel than we've seen in a while. And he has a real commitment to solving the climate crisis. Here's how those situations could play out with Donald Trump at the helm, according to a recent piece by The Economist. Quote, knowing that America would abandon Europe, Mr. Putin would have an incentive to fight on in Ukraine and to pick off former Soviet countries such as Moldova or the Baltic states. Without American pressure, Israel is unlikely to generate an internal consensus for peace talks with the Palestinians. By asserting that America has no global responsibility to help deal with climate change, Mr. Trump would crush efforts to slow it. And he is surrounded by China hawks who believe confrontation is the only way to preserve American dominance.
Now, of course, this is all extracted from an article in the piece of shit magazine, The Economist,
yes,
which is run by that woman, Zanny,
yes,
Bedos, who's just a ridiculous Marxist for all practical purposes. And she's just all over. And she hated Trump when he was in office.
Mm-hmm.
And she's hated all Republicans ever since she got the job. I think she started working there in 94. I think she got promoted to editor-in-chief around 2005 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they're getting this. The Economist is already concerned about Trump.
Well, I mean, somehow they have to spin all this to discredit Trump again. I mean, Elon is okay. In fact, now would be the time for Trump to get back on posting on Twitter. This would be a good moment for him to start
just
doing
to annoy
that.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's kind of, you know, he's, if anything, I think President Trump is sitting like, crap, man, they're not talking about me. I need some juice here. Elon, what can we do? Elon's getting all the attention. This is not good.
I have two Trump clips if you want to bring it up.
But can I just, okay. We'll come back to Zelensky in a moment. Sure. Trump.
Come back to what? What were you going to do?
I was going to come back to Zelensky.
Oh, Trump.
Trump.
Trump trials won.
Leaked confidential videos of former Trump lawyers could shake up the Georgia election interference case.
Oh, no.
From NPR, this is Trump's trials. I'm Scott Detrow.
We love Trump. This is a persecution.
Felony violations for national security laws.
We need one more indictment.
Criminal conspiracy.
To close out this election.
He actually just stormed out of the courtroom.
Innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Once a week, we talk through the latest developments in the legal trials of former President Donald Trump. We have updates on the New York civil trial and the January 6th federal election interference case that we'll get to in a moment. But this week, the main focus is that Georgia election interference case. Remember, this is the racketeering or RICO case against Trump and many other co-defendants. Four of those co-defendants have taken plea deals already. And now with these leaked videos, we've learned more about the conversations inside the White House between Election Day and Inauguration Day.
Man, that guy sounds like Ben Shapiro slowed down by 1.5.
Very interesting observation, yeah. Well, before I play clip two, you might want to know what you're listening to.
It's NPR.
No, this is the new NPR. Play this clip. This is the teaser for it. New NPR podcast.
Oh, whoa, everybody.
It's also just really hard to follow. So we have created Trump's Trials, a new NPR podcast hosted by me, where we break down the big news from each of Trump's cases and talk about what it all means for democracy. Each episode is about 15 minutes, and we are sharing the latest one with you here today.
This really sounds like a
slow down. So you're right. Shapiro. He sounds exactly like a slowed down Ben Shapiro. Exactly.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. So they have a podcast. Here we go.
This is part two of the.
Do they have ads on this podcast?
So this particular podcast is about some leaked videos. And I'm thinking, leaked videos. Leaked videos of what?
Yeah. Lawyers talking.
It turns out to be leaked videos of the depositions.
Oh, and the lawyers talking to each other?
Big deal. Oh, okay. So here's part two. And they have actually one of the leaked videos. And it's pretty lame.
And that's where the news was. As part of that cooperation, the defendants sat down for lengthy interviews with prosecutors to tell them what they know. And this week, several of those interviews, including conversations with key Trump lawyers Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis, were leaked to ABC News. Domenico, what were the main headlines from these tapes?
Well, seeing Jenna Ellis sort of flip on Trump was really notable, and saying that she'd heard from one of Trump's aides, Dan Scavino, that the boss isn't going to leave office. Really kind of a fascinating thing to show sort of Trump's state of mind and how much he really wanted to stay in power.
But Melissa, Trump's legal team was pretty quick to respond to that, saying, who cares what this aide said, in a sense, because for all the other things that happened, Trump did leave office. He didn't hold himself up in the White House. He didn't try to remain president.
No, that's right. And you can imagine what the response to this would be at trial. One, to discredit Jenna Ellis as someone who has a real incentive to play nice with the prosecution, but also someone who may not actually be that truthful herself. She was formerly a co-defendant. They will also, I think, note that this was a statement that Jenna Ellis heard from someone else, Dan Scavino. She did not hear this from Trump himself. So it doesn't actually go to provide clear evidence of Trump's own mindset with regard to staying in power or leaving peacefully.
So wait, so they do a 15-minute-a-day podcast about a video, a leaked video, which we have no audio of, which actually wasn't something someone said, but it was someone telling that was Jenna Ellis, third party information.
This guy told me that sister told him that, and I heard from so-and-so that so-and-so knew that somebody else knew that something and something and something.
And we don't even have a clip.
No, I looked for a clip. I couldn't find it.
So Mike Johnson, what a generic name. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, released the tapes. So there's 10,000 hours or 40 million hours of videotape that is being released to the public 90 hours at a time. And everybody's whoa, look at this. Oh, everyone's going to get out of jail now. And so everyone's looking at these
things. Everyone's getting out of anything.
And of course, everyone's just going, look at us. Look at all this. Oh, but it was not an insurrection. And it's gotten so bad now with this blatant lie about insurrection. Remember that this was worse than 9/11. So this is actually worse than October 7th, January 6th, worse than October 7th in Israel, according to their logic.
Yeah.
Dana Bash on CNN made a big boo-boo, and man, the control room jumped on her. In fact, who's the new lady, Lopez, from, she's PBS?
The Lopez girl. She's the PBS. She got a million front names. She's got one of those Catholic names. I just call her Lopez.
Yeah, so she she's on the panel with Dana Bash.
Yeah, what is she doing there?
Well, isn't that what...
Who's her agent? She came out of nowhere.
So listen to Dana Bash screw it up. The control room jumps in, and then
Lopez bails her out.
Now to an anti-war rally that turned violent. This was the scene outside the Democratic National Committee headquarters right here in Washington last night. Protesters were demanding a ceasefire in Gaza, but ended up clashing with police. The top three House Democrats were all inside the building at the time and had to be evacuated. It's another sign of the growing divide among Democrats over President Biden's handling of the Israel-Hamas war. Our great reporters are back. And Laura, I mean, that is quite an image. We haven't seen an image like that since January 6th. Totally different topic.
Dana, what are you doing?
Different kind of people. I mean,
stop that.
I don't want to at all
take it back.
Compare the
Lopez, bail her out.
It, but the idea that there was violence and that there were Capitol Police officers
bail
actually
her out.
Hurt there. Mm-hmm.
I believe there are about six Capitol Police officers that were injured, according to the Capitol Police that put out that report last night.
Come on.
But there are key differences.
Oh, key difference.
I wouldn't compare it to January 6th, but it was a clash. Yeah. And the protesters or the ralliers were
standing
outside and blocking the entryways and the exit ways. And that's why police confronted them. Mm-hmm. And tried to get them to move because people couldn't exit or enter.
And not just people, like the most senior House Democrats.
The most senior House Democrats and lawmakers who were
there. Good job, Lopez.
This is unbelievable. I wouldn't compare to that. That's no good. That's no good. People are going insane. They're going insane. I got something else here. Right. So. And a lot of this is happening on CNN. I think CNN, I haven't looked at the ratings. They're probably enjoying some better than normal ratings with this stuff.
I hope so.
There's so much to go live to, you know, like, oh, we're here live here. So we have this problem with our universities, which I think if you've listened to the No Agenda program, you've probably noticed this as well. You know, we have a trans Maoist movement that is captured, and it's the educators who are then riling up these kids, and it's now two generations of college students, and now it's come back to bite the Democrats specifically in the butt because they're calling Joe Biden, their president, a genocidal maniac. And so we need to do something about this, and you know, we just want everyone to know that, you know, we're going to have to do some investigation of these colleges.
Education has launched investigations into seven schools after receiving complaints about alleged incidents of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia.
No, there's no complaints of Islamophobia. That's a lie. You're just putting that in there just to make it sound like it, but
that gets balanced.
Yes.
Incidents of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. That is according to an administration official. The investigations include five anti-Semitism cases and two Islamophobia cases among the schools, a K-12 school in Kansas, and six colleges, including Cornell, Columbia, and the University of Pennsylvania.
Why? Where's Harvard and all those guys?
Harvard?
They left them out.
College campus.
Columbia.
Yeah, they left those out.
In a rise in tension over the Israel-Hamas war. Joining us now to discuss all this, Education Secretary Miguel Cardona. We appreciate your time, sir. Thanks for coming here. I know you've said in the past that there was an uptick in basically the filing of concerns about this. How many investigations do you think that will lead to? We already have these initial batches. Are more coming?
I anticipate more are coming. Look, thank you for having me here, Phil. First of all, you know, we take the responsibility very seriously to protect students' freedom to learn in an environment that's free of hate.
Freedom to learn?
What does the Department of Education have to do with the management of these colleges?
The White House needed someone to go out there and say, someone with school cred, say, talk about investigations. They have nothing to do with these are private institutions.
Well, even the public ones aren't governed by that department.
Well, it's
their state to govern.
It's a PR, they have to get the word out. Elon is the true.
Elon's a bad guy, and Biden is not genocide Joe.
No, we're trying to fix this because everyone has the freedom to learn. Not freedom of speech, we know that.
Students' freedom to learn in an environment that's free of hate and the feeling of threatening. We've spoken to students at different...
The feeling of threatening. These are American values. You should be free of threatening.
The feeling of threatening. We've spoken to students at different universities. We've been in over five different states, listened to...
Yeah. It's not even a right. That's not a term. It doesn't mean anything. The freedom of threatening.
Yes, the freedom of threatening. Yes.
Is he just making stuff up?
I would say that's correct. Yes, of course. Of course. We need to get the word out there. Look, we can't get through on Twitter anymore because there's no more good news. You can't communicate through Twitter, so we have to do it through, CNN.
Did you hear that the Biden team has put a team together so they can push the Biden agenda and the Biden messages on TikTok?
Oh, of course. The Team Halo. We're getting the band back together. Of course. Yeah, makes sense.
Students' freedom to learn in an environment that's free of hate and the feeling of threatening. We've spoken to students at different universities. We've been in over 5 different states, parents.
We've listened.
And students who feel under attack and threatened learning. And we take that very serious. We're a civil rights agency, and we're protecting the rights of students to learn.
What?
They're a civil rights agency.
They're a civil rights agency.
Yes, yes.
The Department of Education is a civil rights agency.
Title six, baby.
How do you find the balance here in the sense of free speech versus discrimination? It's been a gray area forever. It's certainly not getting easier to figure out right now. You have actual tools and enforcement power here. What is the balance? Is there a threshold? Yeah.
They have enforcement power. They have enforcement power over universities?
Under what U.S. code?
I don't know. Section 230.
What enforcement powers do they have?
Title VI.
Do they have a police department?
I'll bet you they got guns. If they do, they got guns.
You know, well, if they do, they have guns. Yeah.
We're bringing together college leaders and K-12 leaders. K-12? And we're getting great examples. Well, what they need to know is...
a K-12 leader? A social studies teacher in the fifth grade? I mean... K-12 leader.
I want a business card that says, "Hi, I'm Adam Curry, K-12 leader."
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. Are you an enforcement agency? Yep.
Well, what they need to know is, number one, they have to be open and honest about what's happening on their campus, communicate with students, communicate with families regularly, be visible, and recognize that while students do have the right to express themselves, there's a threshold that has to be communicated very clearly. What they can't do. The resources that we have online are available to them. Our offices are available for technical assistance. We want to support them in this work. But at the end of the day, they should know that if they're not protecting students, we are going to investigate. And if we have to, we will withhold dollars.
And your point being that...
Oh, we will what? Hold on. We will withhold funds?
Protecting students, we are going to investigate. And if we have to, we will withhold dollars.
And your point being...
I can't understand what he's saying.
What he tried to say.
Funds?
Investigate. And if we have to, we will withhold dollars.
And your point being that...
We will hold dollars.
It is very clear. They know the line. Withhold. You guys lay out the line. You have detailed the line. And if they cross the line or the line gets crossed, they should be aware of it.
There is a line. We can work with them to make sure that based on their situation, they're getting the support that they need. But they need to be clear.
Maybe it's more clear in this clip from The View, who had Alyssa Farah Griffin. No, is that? No. That she's from The View. I don't know.
No, Liz is on The View, I think. Isn't she?
Yeah, no, I'm Dr.
The Trump sellout.
Yeah. Miguel Cardona, I guess. Let's listen. Maybe the ladies of The View will have cleared up for me.
We're taking this very seriously. We announced last night 7 open investigations. We're going to be very transparent.
Yeah, the same guy. Yeah, same guy.
With which
same
schools guy. Are now being investigated. That information is going to be public.
So clearly, this is a PR campaign because it goes from CNN to The View. We've got to communicate to the mothers and the housewives of the world who watch The View that this will not stand. We are not Genocide Joe. We are the good guys. This can't happen. And pay attention because we're going to come for you, children.
We're taking this very seriously. We announced last night 7 open investigations. We're going to be very transparent with which schools are now being investigated. That information is going to be public.
Tell us.
We're going to work with college.
Does he tell us the 7 schools? He's going to be very transparent. He's got 7 schools in their sights. Who are the schools?
Let's find out.
Which schools are now being investigated? That information is going to be public. Good. We're going to work with college presidents, with superintendents. Yeah. We're going to talk to students. We're going to get through this. At the end of the day, the freedom to learn in a safe environment is something that we're going to protect here.
And if I may ask you, are you able to share how many complaints the Department of Education has gotten?
Sure. You know, we've gotten more in the last month than all of last year when it comes to these topics.
Wow. How many is it? Not wow. Wow. How many? 3? Is it a 3,000? Wow.
7.
Wow. You know, several, he said.
You know, we've gotten more in the last month than all of last year when it comes to these topics. Wow. So what we're doing right now is going through the process, the investigations or the requests for investigations to see whether we open them or not. We opened 7 yesterday. I anticipate many more.
This is an outrage. The government is coming after students for them protesting at schools. I don't care who you're protesting. That's wrong. That is wrong.
This was resolved in the 60s with the free speech movement at Berkeley.
Did they bust some heads?
Oh, they bust a lot of heads, but at the end of the day, the students won out, and everything was changed ever since then. Protests are
what do you mean,
normal.
What do you mean the students want out? What are you saying?
The students were allowed to have their protests against their issues that were taking place where the campus was closing down certain vendors. And they have these guys sitting behind a table saying, I don't like breasts, change my mind kind of stuff. And they
Crowder.
Were,
sorry. Crowder, I don't like breasts. You know, this is anti-American. This is un-American. This is wrong. I don't care what you're protesting. Exactly. I don't like boobs. Whatever it is, the government should have no business.
No, they don't.
But this guy is what saying it.
Both agree to, which is they're trying to quash this Genocide Joe meme because it's going to hurt the Democrat Party.
Tears will come. Tears will come. Blood will. There'll be blood on the moon, as my mom would say. This is not going to end well if they think they're going to send goons into college campuses. Although I may agree with, you know, I mean, I'd love for lots of these protests to not happen, but that's not America. You can protest whatever you want
to happen.
You can go with your pussy hats. You can put your kifiyes on. You can do whatever you want. But the government is so freaked out now that you're not doing it right. Hello, protest Elon Musk, protest Trump. Don't protest Genocide Joe. No, this is not good. We're going to come and beat you up.
I anticipate many more, which is why, you know, a lot of folks are telling us, oh, you need to act on that. But they're also saying in the same breath, we're going to cut funding for the Office for Civil Rights. We need to make sure we have folks at the department that can investigate this right away.
Yes.
Our kids' safety cannot be compromised.
So the referrals will go to the Civil Rights Division at the U.S. Attorney's,
at the U.S. Department of Education.
We're
a civil rights agency, too. A lot of people don't. We have the Office for Civil Rights that investigates this independently to make sure that all the facts are taken into account.
Okay, so now I understand. So they are also a civil rights agency. You didn't know that, but you do now. Which means your right to free learning, freedom of learning, and freedom to not be threatened is under attack. I don't think that anyone who just wants to learn is being threatened. Wow. Okay, so now we have Morning Joe. We have another fine dude showing up, Jonathan Greenblatt, the out-of-control CEO of the Anti-Defamation League. He's coming unhinged.
I am so sick of the safe spaces conversation. Don't talk to me about safe spaces when your campuses are literally unsafe. These college administrators, and you know, it's the oppression Olympics, Joe. It's the oppression Olympics where you either play oppressor or oppressed. And in this victimology madness, Jews are somehow put at the bottom.
This is really phenomenal what we're witnessing here. The whole base, political base, has been told for years and years and years, you are being oppressed, you're a victim, you're black, you're gay, you're lesbian, you're trans, evil right-wingers, white people, they hate you, this is wrong. And now on MSNBC, we all have to say, yeah, you know, this safe space stuff, that's bullcrap. It's falling apart.
It's totally falling apart.
It's like a natural occurrence. It's like a fire putting itself out. It's crazy. This is so beautiful to watch.
Madness. Jews are somehow put at the bottom. But here's the thing, Joe. I am so tired of the cowardice. I am so tired of the weakness. So university presence, I am looking right at you. If you violate Title VI, and you make your students unsafe, ADL is coming for you.
Oh,
if you create an environment,
let me tell you, I'm more afraid of ADL than I am of the government.
Department of Education.
Yes. Hold on. What is Title VI exactly? Do you know what Title VI is?
I think it's an equal
Civil Rights Act,
equal access kind of thing.
Okay. Overview. Title VI, 42 U.S. You asked for U.S. code. Was enacted as part of the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964. It prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, and national origin in programs and activities receiving federal financial assistance. As President Kennedy said in 1963, simple justice requires that public funds to which all taxpayers of all races, colors, and national origins contribute not be spent in any fashion which encourages, entrenches, subsidizes, or results in racial discrimination. So they're using Title VI, I guess, to take away funds from these universities? Do these universities actually get funds from the government?
Well, you know how it goes.
Do I?
Research
know?
Funds sometimes. There's a lot of research money that goes into the big schools.
Yeah,
the K through 12 gets medical, nothing, but
yeah, medical, they get, medical, yeah. military
funds. Sure. Yeah.
It would be a little more fun if they went to bust heads, honestly, but okay.
I'd still like to know what the seven schools were.
Hold on.
Because transparent, where's the seven schools?
We'll find out.
Violate Title VI, and you make your students unsafe, ADL is coming for you. If you create environments where Jewish students are hostile, are being harassed, being targeted, I got news for you. You may have a moral weakness, but you also have a fiduciary responsibility to protect your institutions. And look, whether you're going to lose tens of millions of donor dollars, and you will, or you lose hundreds of millions in federal funding because you lose Title VI, and you will. We are coming for you because I'm tired of waiting, Joe. I'm tired of waiting for them to protect my Jewish kids in school. So I'm going to protect them with the full force of the law.
Seven schools are under investigation as of November 16th. Lafayette College, Cornell University, Columbia University, Wellesley College, University of Pennsylvania, the Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art, and Kansas's Mays Unified School District. Five of the complaints allege anti-Semitic harassment, and two allege anti-Muslim harassment. Well, that just, I mean, where are these victims? The whole thing is, it's beautiful to watch.
It's ginned up.
It's beautiful to watch. Like, stop it. We can't have these protests anymore. Please, please, Elon, please, Trump.
Yeah, anything. They got to stop these protests.
Anything, so
any way they can. They don't need more coverage by the mainstream media with signage that says Genocide Joe. They've been keeping that pretty much to a minimum, but you know those signs are everywhere.
It's great.
That's hilarious.
There was a chant. I don't think I clipped it because you couldn't hear it well enough, but the chant was it had Genocide Joe in there, but these chants, they're just spells. These children are under spells. They're told, hey, hey, ho, ho, Genocide Joe got to go. It's just spells. It's witchcraft. And they're falling for it. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's good. It's cool.
What do you expect?
Let's go to Zelensky for a moment. Something beautiful happened because I guess the foreign secretary in the United Kingdom, of Rishi Sunak's government, he's not elected, by the way. He was just catapulted in after they got rid of the woman. And so the female.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
He got catapulted in after he got rid of Boris Johnson.
No, they had that woman in for 3 weeks.
Oh.
Don't you remember?
Yeah, there's an interim. Yeah.
And then he's interim too. And then his foreign secretary said, and we can't have all these, you know, multiculturalism doesn't work. Get them out of here. Send them to
Rwanda.
Send them to Rwanda. No, that's no good. Bring back Cameron. Yeah, that guy. So Cameron, if I recall,
is the guy who said, we're not worried about this Brexit. We'll just do a vote. We'll just do an election. We'll do a vote. We'll do. And then, of course, Brexit took place. So he's
got the rug pulled out.
He's a real winner. So now he's been sent over to Ukraine to go talk to Zelensky. Very dangerous journey, as you can understand.
It's David Cameron's first working trip abroad as the UK's foreign secretary. The destination, Kyiv, to meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and emphasize London's support for Ukraine.
We will give the moral support, the diplomatic support, the economic support, but above all, the military support that you need, not just this year and next year, but for however long it takes.
The former UK Prime Minister made a point of stating that he plans to get the communications right with all Ukraine. Ukraine's friends and allies to ensure that the attention is directed to Ukraine. Other topics included weapon and arms production and the security situation in the Black Sea. Zelensky expressed his gratitude for Cameron's visit at a time when global attention has shifted to Israel's war on Gaza.
You know, the world is not focused on the situation or on our battlefield in Ukraine. We are thankful that UK always supported Ukraine.
It's been over 600 days since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and the war is continuing with no end in sight. Both Ukrainian and Russian authorities have kept tight-lipped on the number of soldiers killed since February 2022, but some reports put them at close to 70,000 and 120,000 respectively. So far, the UK has committed over £4 billion in military assistance to Ukraine.
Committed. Committed. Not paid. Committed. So
I have a bunch of Ukraine clips.
Yeah. Can I do my quick little Zelensky thing just to alert you to this, to be on the lookout? And these are good memes. These are video memes of Zelensky. And so it's the same thing. It's a like a guy, like a panhandler leaning through the car window, or a guy in front of a whole bunch of slot machines, and they stick Zelensky's head on it with this little quote from him.
It will be win-win. This odd one. If you can't give us some financial support, okay. Okay, please, give us a credit, and we will give you back money.
So you have him begging at the slot machine, give us a credit. Just give us a credit. It's finally a good meme.
Yeah.
Finally a good meme.
I think some slot machine maker should seriously consider that win. We have them say win-win and have heads on the reels.
Yeah, exactly.
Zelensky heads.
Give us a credit, man.
The super jackpot.
Come on, man. Give me an eight ball. Give me the credit. Just give me credit. I'll pay you later. I promise I'll pay you back. All right. What you got on Ukraine?
These are the updates, and these are from yesterday, so they're pretty recent. Let's go with Ukraine. It says, I don't know, it's not supposed to be IRC, but it says IRC, PBS.
In a Washington Post op-ed today, President Biden urged support for Ukraine. He's asked Congress for tens of billions of dollars to support the nation in its war with Russia. Most of that would be military aid, but it also includes money to address the humanitarian situation, which, as Ali Rogan tells us, gets worse by the day.
As Russia increases its attacks on critical infrastructure in Ukraine, some 18 million Ukrainians, about 40% of the population, are in need of humanitarian aid. Humanitarian organizations on the ground are working in a hostile environment, trying to help civilians caught in the crossfire who are searching for safe haven. And those groups are concerned that support for their mission in the international community is flagging.
Just out of interest, I know you didn't mean it, but what do you think you were trying to do when labeling this clip IRC? I'm just curious what the...
I think this leads up to my International Relief Committee.
Ah, okay. Got it.
The International Relief Committee, which is... Or Rescue, International Rescue Committee.
Oh, this is the money, guys.
This is quite the operation. They bring on somebody, a spokesperson. But I went and did one of the... I did a curry dive.
Woo!
And so I ended up looking at these guys. It's a huge operation, 11,000 people working in 40 countries. It goes back to 19... This is what's the irony of this, like, is the International Relief Association goes back to 1931 in Germany by two left-wing factions, the Communist Party and the Socialist Workers' Party, but to aid the victims of state oppression. And it slowly evolved to a Council on Foreign Relations takeover.
Wow.
This is a complete front for the Council on Foreign Relations. You look at anybody on here. Co-chair of the board of directors, Timothy Geithner.
Our one-time treasury secretary.
Yeah, Council on Foreign Relations. The board of directors, Lawrence Fink.
BlackRock.
Council on Foreign Relations, Janet Napolitano. Council on Foreign Relations. Executive Vice President of Pfizer, Sally Sussman.
Mm.
Council on Foreign Relations. Board of Advisors, Michael Blumenthal, CFR. Mary Boyce, CFR. Tom Brokaw, who is in the Council on Foreign Relations. Ali Jetty, Council on Foreign Relations in McKinsey. Henry Kissinger, Council on Foreign Relations. Then I found two people that aren't on the Council on Foreign Relations. Scott Pelley, who's on this thing.
He's in CBS. It's another C.
And Liv Ullmann. Now, I had to go and figure out Liv Ullmann's an 83-year-old Norwegian actress. Why is she on this operation? Why has she got anything to do with this operation?
Does she have money?
No. See if you can guess.
Liv Ullmann, is she married to someone special?
She's an old woman.
Well,
she used to date Henry Kissinger.
Ah, there it is.
And Kissinger must be the greatest guy to know, because if you don't turn on him, he always pays you back. Now, the interesting one guy not on the Council on Foreign Relations is David Miliband, who's the president and CEO. You remember him.
Yeah, isn't he former
head of the opposition in UK?
UK, he was UK government. Yes. Weak guy. He's weak.
He's not on the CFR, but he's a member of the Trilateral Commission.
There you go. Another fan favorite.
So this whole operation is really sketchy. And I went out of my way to just look up some random person. So I looked up Tracy Wollstonecroft, just randomly, who's on the board of advisors. And she's a former president, CEO, National Geographic.
Now, yeah.
Council on Foreign Relations.
Okay, I think so you've made your point.
It's unbelievable. So this is a front operation for globalists. Yeah, and so they bring them into
New World Order. Yeah, New World Order.
Yeah, that's why PBS brings on a spokesperson quite effortlessly. But let's go back to Ukraine IRC2.
Zoe Daniels is the senior director for the Ukraine crisis at the International Rescue Committee, a humanitarian organization. Zoe, thank you so much for joining us. Can you first take us through what are the most pressing humanitarian needs right now in Ukraine?
Money!
So really, as you said, heavy fighting carries on, particularly in the southeast of the country. It's damaging homes, hospitals, schools, other civilian infrastructure, and really driving those humanitarian needs. I mean, an area of Ukraine approximately the size of Florida is now riddled with landmines. We're nearly 2 years into a full-scale war, and after 10 years of conflict in eastern Ukraine, people's ability to cope is severely weakened. We've got alarming statistics about the massive mental health impact of the war, including the rise of intimate partner violence at home.
Oh, that's an interesting angle. Intimate partner violence.
So guys are beating their wives. Or vice versa, depending on how big the Ukrainian woman is.
The only thing she did wrong, she should have said there's an uptick. She said rise. Uptick would have been more accurate. Uptick. Wow.
So she goes on and on. And there's a bunch of stuff in here is kind of discrepant, because I thought they rousted all the children out of the Ukrainian war areas completely. And there are a lot of them in Poland. Some Russians took a bunch of them. They're all out of there. But according to her, they're being traumatized. But let's go to clip three.
4.1 million children inside Ukraine need humanitarian aid. It's become a daily reality for this generation of violence, trauma, destruction, and displacement. Children are being killed and wounded. They're deeply traumatized by violence, which...
I'm sorry. Excuse me, lady. Right now, the children death script is Gaza and Israel. You can't hijack the script now for some Ukrainian kids. Do you have incubators? Does she have incubators, John? Does she have incubators? Otherwise, it's going to fall flat.
Incubators are out of the picture. I agree
preemies,
with you.
Preemies? You got preemies? No? It's not good
yet.
Enough.
Not good. Traumatized by
the script is weak. It's weak. That's what happens when you're a giant organization. that is kind of run by the CFR, and it's like, you know, you don't have the top-notch writers there. Should
put the, roll this through ChatGPT or something. Do, sex it up a bit.
Which leaves really long-lasting scars. It's really affected their future. There's been prolonged disruption, both by the war, and then before that, there was the preceding COVID-19 pandemic. And so this is 4 years of educational challenges for students.
Oh, yeah, I think we have that here in America too, Zoe. But okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can play it out.
Four? IRC yeah. four?
Are you concerned that international attention is turning away from Ukraine?
There's always competing priorities in the world, and the humanitarian response plan for Ukraine is only funded at 46%. Even though, for example, the United States has outstandingly contributed $2.6 billion in life-saving humanitarian aid, which really helped Ukrainians through the constant shelling and last year's harsh winter, the needs are currently estimated at $3.95 billion USD, which, you know, currently humanitarian funding to Ukraine is half of what it was in 2022. There's political will in the country and among key allies that really remains high, but funding shortages really hamper humanitarians' ability to assist more people.
Zoe Daniels with the International Rescue Committee, thank you so much for your time.
Where are these people for Haiti or the Uyghurs?
Yeah, well, yeah. But, or, yeah, where's the Haiti guys? Where's the call for a ceasefire in the Ukraine thing? Why, they just want more money. How about asking for a ceasefire?
No, you know, peace is not profitable. This is the major problem. But can we make peace profitable again? Make peace profitable again.
There you go. I think that should be a kind of a thing to
bumper sticker.
Put it on a sign and march around with it.
Elon, make peace profitable. Yeah, this is a good idea. I shall make a sign and walk around with it in Fredericksburg.
Yeah. It fit right in.
With the tourists. Oh, man, it's filling up. Christmas is coming. You know, you want a traditional Christmas, you come to Fredericksburg. The lights are up.
I'm sure it's dynamite. It's beautiful. We'll put in the newsletter.
Yes, it's getting beautiful. It really is. We just need some snow, which supposedly this is at Thanksgiving. We're supposed to get snow here in the hill country. So I'm waiting for the snowpocalypse part two.
You have a snow plow? You got an attachment for your truck?
No, truck. No, I got Bird Dog across the way. If I'm really in trouble, I just walk over to Bird Dog's place. Bird Dog's got everything.
You got snowshoes?
I do have snowshoes.
Those big giant ones?
No, I have snow boots.
Oh, boots. You got the little spikes on there so you don't fall on your ass? You don't seem prepared, if you ask me.
I got a generator. That's all I care about. I got a generator and a freezer full of beef. No worries. All good. There was a native ad situation taking place in the UK, which one of our producers caught, and it was a doozy. And I think this may be a strategy. There's a lot of talk now, and the lawyers are warming up to sue Pfizer and possibly, well, no, Pfizer specifically because of their manufacture of the mRNA vaccines, which were manufactured differently from the emergency use authorization process.
They're suing them specifically because they have super deep pockets.
It's a good one to go after.
As opposed to Moderna, you could put them out of business. Who cares?
Yeah, it's a good one to go after. And we also, you know, so Pfizer is arguably in trouble for this, and they need to refocus. The UK is a good place to start. You know, the different laws, it, you know, works a little differently, and the media is good over there. So this is a
right, because they're not getting. And let's point it out once again, because they're not getting drug big pharma money for advertising.
Well. So they slipped this one in. And the way they did it, this is a long game. They have a couple. They both happen to be actors. So these are actual actors. And this is the guy, his wife, actress, was harmed by the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Okay, that's a blood clot.
Yes, issue blood, with that. Blood clot yeah. issue. This is well known. You know, AstraZeneca was halted. So now they're going after AstraZeneca. And this is a two-parter, but very interesting as a setup and really a grand slam.
So this is a main event for who?
I'm sorry. Well, you listen. Just okay. I'm going to surprise you.
The big pharma vaccine maker is being sued for tens of millions of pounds in a test case or mass tort action, depending on your continent, brought by the British family of one person allegedly killed by the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine and another who was brain injured, allegedly as a result of the same vaccine. 80 others are co-joined in the case, including Australian-born West End actor Mel Stewart. The 42-year-old suffered a devastating brain bleed and has a titanium plate to protect her skull from emergency surgery after receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine in southwest London in April 2021. I'm joined now by her husband, Ben Lewis. Ben is also an actor, but has given up his career to be by his wife's side in what must be the greatest challenge of their lives.
Yeah, Mel had a significant stroke caused by two clots in her brain. Mel had a bleed on the right-hand side of her brain, the left-hand side of her brain, excuse me, and that's resulted in her having speech difficulties. She suffers from what is known as aphasia and apraxia of speech, which is basically a breakdown in the communication between the brain and your speech. Mel also has significant right-sided deficits, as is common with lots of strokes. Mel has limited use of her right leg. She can walk with the assistance of an orthotic device, and her right arm has very little functional movement at all.
So that's the setup. And you heard it's a proper case. It got a lot of people. They even said, hey, this is something that could work in America, depending on your continent. We call that a mass tort case. Now, to complete the script, you've always got to say, but you know what? We're not anti-vaxxers.
We are pro-vaccination. Mel and I both are. But we completely respect everyone's right to choose. That is not the issue at play here. Tens of thousands of particularly older people were dying in care homes throughout the UK. When we came to get our vaccines, the way it was in the UK is that you did not have a choice as to which one you were given. It was dictated by age. Mel was 6 months over 40 at the time, so she was offered the AstraZeneca vaccine, which was Mel could have got an alternative vaccine if she'd been under 40 years old, but she wasn't given a choice. And we just feel like, yes, the vaccine saved and helped lots of people, but we feel like it is incumbent on the government to take care of the few people who fell through the cracks and whose lives have been devastated for, as you said, Chris, for doing the right thing.
Have you kept up to date with COVID-19 vaccination boosters?
We have, Chris. My wife received a Pfizer vaccine. People may be gobsmacked at that.
I'm gobsmacked.
She, as I say, we've always had put our faith in the experts. By the time we got the Pfizer vaccine, it's very clear that that's a highly effective vaccine with none of the risks that the AstraZeneca had. So she got that one in hospital, which was necessary because the hospitals were full of COVID when she was in there. And we're actually going for a booster next week, and I'd encourage everyone to do so.
No.
And the Oscar goes too.
Okay, I had to do this because I'm sitting there with the clip of the day already, but I'm going to give you clip of the day for that.
Thank you very much. Clip of the day. I forget which producer sent that to me, but of course, honors go to
Well, that producer should get clip of the day. You should send it to him when you get it. Yeah. It'll be in the mail tomorrow. When it shows up, it's a very small trophy for people who don't know. We have a bunch of them lined up around the house. When you get that, ship it to him.
Will do. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage and say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the IRC and the CFR. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. John C. DeBora.
Good morning to you, Sir Adam Crane, the Marshal of the Sea, Bazoon, Rafi, the Air Service, and the one of the Dames and Knights out there.
In the morning to our trolls in the troll room, we are at 2 hours and 23 minutes.
Choke out. Hanging out with us.
26th, 2027 on this Sunday.
How much?
2027.
That's 400 under.
It's,
we're at the holiday season, well, so people aren't home.
I think you need to do the new numbers. We're doing these donation segments after the two-hour mark. I mean, I'm sure we lost 400 along the way. Probably with the Ukraine stuff. Once we hit Ukraine, people are like, ugh, that's no good.
People don't want to hear about it.
I went to a meetup yesterday.
Oh, yeah. How did the meetup go?
The meetup was phenomenal. I think Sir Scott sent in a meetup report, which I'll play in a moment. I just wanted to say we had a great time. Tina and I went. We went with other podcasters from Living Up in a Down World, Jimmy and Annette. And so it was kind of a combo, but it was double the amount typically at Doc's Backyard. It's about 50, 60 people. Despite the rain, a little bit of drizzle here and there. Doc's Backyard always takes good care of the group. Baron Scott and Christine, they were there. They organized it as usual. Everyone had a lanyard with their name, a lanyard with a little badge. Yep. And if you try and leave with your lanyard, he'll
confiscate him.
He will tackle you. Hey, give that back. And, you know,
we only have so many lanyards. Right. You think we're made out of money?
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. Had heads on sticks people there, and of course Baron Gordon Walton. He drove me to the very first meetup ever in Austin. Farmer Chris stopped by, who I've known since I lived in downtown, even before I lived in downtown Austin. He does the eggs in at the farmer's market, and he has 5,000 chickens now. It's quite a lot of chickens. And I knew new producers who escaped California and moved to the Austin area. And he's a genetic researcher. What was the actual title?
A genetic grease?
No, genetic researcher. Huh. But it was like informatic to something or other. And so I immediately went, oh, so you know about COVID vaccines. He said, yep, don't take them. He said, stay away. Says there's real good stuff coming. For cancer in particular, with genetics, you know, the stuff that can be done, but none of it's ready for prime time. So that was his contribution. Lots of people remembered, some new people. It was a great meetup. And I do have several donations, which I will read after we go through. There's two. We got a PhD and executive producer, so I'll do those, and then some other ones I want to read to thank everybody. It was quite a nice meetup, and it was good to see everybody. Now, the trolls, that's where I was. So, unfortunately, we're losing our trolls. It is a holiday weekend, or holiday week. Holiday week, yes. We'll be here on Thanksgiving, on Thursday. We'll be doing our show. You know,
a few people appreciate it.
I'll be here until 5, so I'll be late for Thanksgiving dinner as usual. But that's just what it is these days.
What time do you eat Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, we're having dinner at the International Arms Dealer's House.
House of Pancakes.
The International Arms Dealer's House.
Oh.
So they'll probably be starting around 5:30. So you know, we're done around 5, so I'll have to change quickly and boogie on over there. Tina will be there before. Doesn't matter. We love doing that for No Agenda Nation. If you want to be a troll, you can join us at trollroom.io. You can log in there. You can listen to the stream live, or you could get a modern podcast app, podcastapps.com. Pretty much, what?
There's nothing.
Well, you were saying something.
No, I wasn't. Forget it.
Well, then don't keep make talking. Noise. Don't make noise.
I just made a grunt.
Okay. Podcastapps.com. Get a modern podcast app. You're going to want it for a couple of reasons. One, you can get the show live and you can listen to it live. It'll tell you when it's going to start. Currently, I'm using Podcast Guru. I like Podcast Guru. And it's also, it'll update within 90 seconds of us posting the show. No waiting for Apple or any other bogus legacy app. So get something new. You will not regret it. For 16 years, value for value, this is how we've been keeping the show alive. I think if you've listened so far in this episode, you can understand why. Advertising would probably not work. Media Matters would be camped outside of our homes. telling people how horrible we are, trying to hit us where it hurts in our pocketbook. It wouldn't matter because we'd have no pocketbook. Those guys would have gotten rid of us a long time ago. So all we ask is that you support us with your time, your talents, or your treasure, whatever value you get out of the show, put it back into it. You can do it by organizing a meetup. That's a great way to do it. You can do it by hitting somebody in the mouth. You can get it by doing jingles for us. You can, you can provide a boots on the ground. We always need treasure. So if you've got treasure and you want to put that into a number, people love numbers, please do that and send it to us. And one thing that we enjoy a lot is what our artists do for us. True value for value. They're listening live as we are doing the show and they're coming up with ideas. We know that fresh album art works. People love seeing it. They get a kick out of a lot of the art. It helps them, you know, understand what's going to be in the show. It's often just humorous. It's sometimes it's all of the above. And we want to thank the artist who brought us the album art for episode 1608 titled Woke Up Dead, Joe. And that's Fo Diddley, Sir Shug. And this was pretty much a go from the start for both of us. This was the multiple dreidels where you could choose between, if you spun the dreidel, you get a Palestinian flag, an Israeli flag, you get a Ukraine flag, a trans flag, a Black Lives Matter flag. Just beautiful. The dreidels of trans Maoism. Did he actually have a title for them? Did he title this something? Usually the artist put a title on it.
Yeah, he called it Spun Up Game.
Well, and there was also a spun up angle to it. It was good. It was really good, Fo Diddley. We like that a lot. And I'm trying to get to the art generator. Here we go. I'm sorry, it gets slow on show days.
It's just been slow recently. I don't know what's wrong.
I hope we're okay.
So we have a couple of things that we had, like Face Screen Future by Gibstein, which is so AI. It was like, forget it. You're not going to get it. No way.
I liked Nestworks All Spun Up. He had a top that was all spun up.
Yeah, you had a top, which was also AI of some sort.
Yeah, I liked it, though. It was good.
It was nice, but it wasn't as good as the dreidels.
The dreidels were good.
We both, I think we liked the Osama bin Laden writing from Scaramanga,
drawing
tits.
Drawing boobs.
Drawing boobs on the paper. We like the polar bear. Actually, Nick the Rat came in with rare because he's like still leading, I think, all time.
Oh, he did the polar bear where that's getting
with the bomb just bomb over coming down hitting him, which is
wasn't Nick's best work.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was good.
And then there was the cows, flying cows by Pickle Surprise. I thought that was good.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that.
Also, I liked the letter from Correct a Record. Dear America, you suck. You know that thing.
that was Osama bin Laden. Dear America, you suck and I hate all of you more than anything. Love, Osama. P.S. Jihad me at hello.
I missed that gag.
Well, it was a little, I mean, it was good.
There was good art here. There was a lot of stuff we could have picked.
It was good art. And you can see some of this in those same modern podcast apps. Dreb Scott puts it in as the album art. So as you're driving along, just put your phone up on your dashboard or connect it to your CarPlay or your Android Auto and you'll
keep
see
your hand on the road.
Yeah. You'll see these things flipping by as you're driving. You'll get distracted, but you'll like it. Now let us thank the treasure part of the three T's, time, talents, and treasure, the executive and associate executive producers of this episode, which is 1609, and we kick it off with an anonymous donation of, wow, a show number donation. 1609 from Sicane, Pennsylvania. I guess I should know. Is it Sicane?
Sicani?
No, Pennsylvania is not that sophisticated. Sicane. Hey, John and Adam, please keep me anonymous. I'll try to keep this short.
Those are Pennsylvania donors.
No, please. I'll try to keep this short, which anonymous kind of did.
Which he doesn't.
I've been listening since Adam's first Rogan appearance, but my crazy brain was hung up on trying to do a show number instant donation that was also a prime number. Is this a prime number? Did we forget an important prime number? Refusing
to divide it by someone. I don't think you can.
This guy's a hero. Refusing the jab forced me out of work for nearly a year and limited union job opportunities in a city of mostly hospital and college construction that mandated shots through most of 2022. Wow, man, you got some courage. I've been working.
That takes guts, and I appreciate it. I think this guy's got balls. Good for you.
I've been working on rebuilding savings, but that's not easy with a newborn and mid-pandemic new car. What does that mean?
They bought a car.
Yet the possibility of earning a PhD on a prime numbered show forced my recouping savings to dwindle once more in your favor. Priorities and principles matter. So thank you for what you do and keep interjecting logic in these screwed up times. I would like to be knighted Sir Prime, Doctor of Illuminated Thinking. And he says, P.S., could you recommend a good audio capture program?
I already sent him a note.
For collecting sound bites from both video and audio to send your way. What did you, may I ask what you recommended?
I told him Audacity because it's free and it works.
It's pretty good. That I would say that's pretty good. Yes. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that, brother. You got your PhD coming up. It's all good.
And make sure to go to noagendarings.com and fill out the form for the PhD.
I will remind him of that in a moment.
Anthony Trusnich.
I think the C is silent. Trusnich.
Well, he's in Gulfport, Mississippi, which is a nice place. $1,000.88. Baron of the Philippines here, who the whore jack is breaking my balls. I repeat, the whore jack is breaking my balls. So this is code.
Yeah, I'm not sure not what it
for,
means.
For what? I don't
sure
know
what it means.
I am asking for forgiveness rather than permission. I will make this up to you, Dame of the Swamps.
Oh, this is a big make good.
Something.
Oops.
For jingles, give me eat kale, not donuts. The whore jack saying donuts are delicious. 69.69, dudes.
I don't understand the whore jack saying, I don't understand that.
It's more code.
It's more code? Okay, because I don't have that, but I do have.
Like eat kale, not donuts.
Oops. I think that's the one he wanted. I think he wanted to
give him the 69.69 dudes.
That's what I was looking for. 69 dudes. Here it is.
69.99 dudes.
Yeah, they got it. I'm surprised.
Still not the right one.
That was $1,000.88.
1,000 from Tom McCuckus. McCuckus. Parts unknown. Switcheroo. John Adam, greetings from Tom on behalf of the No Agenda Married Gays. Oh, it's our married gays. Please,
we have a club of them, yeah.
Yes. Well, these are the ones that donate. Please credit this donation to my amazing husband, Jake, or Jacob, who just turned 40 on November 18th. Happy birthday. While he has been awarded an honorary doctorate, I thought, what could be better, a better present than a No Agenda PhD in addition to an executive producership and a knighting? I agree with you there. So do we just say Jake or Jacob? I don't know.
I think it should be exactly that.
Jake or Jacob. Nailed it. That's perfect. Okay, let me just put that in there. Make sure we get the switcheroo there. Okay. Jake or Jacob. No special jingles needed, but some extra rent boys and Chardonnay would be great. Really? Is the marriage stagnating already? Is that what's happening, boys? Oh, boy. P.S. Adam, dinner with you and Tina a few years ago was great. Hope to do it again sometime. If you ever considered a Boston Provincetown Cape Cod trip, the invitation to visit still stands. John, we're out in Napa for a few days as part of the birthday celebration this weekend. Thanks for all the wine tips over the years. Oh, how nice.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Sir Ronald Lafferty in San Jose, California, 1000. ITM or ITA, John and Adam, here's my support for the best podcast in the universe. End of note. Thank you very much, Ronald.
Oh, man, we love that. Here's $1,000 we got yesterday from the meetup in the morning. Shout out to Dame Allie Rat. Belated happy birthday, September 18th. To Sir Osceola, they're the millennial lesbians. And to Rachel, an early happy birthday, January 5th, from Mustang Racer. So no real names on the air, but he's Osceola's dad. Cool dude. I haven't seen him in a while. Donation breakdown. Please credit Rachel $200 and add $800 credit to Cliff Elliott, which should make me a knight.
from previous donations of $200 from my human resources with the name of Sir Mustang Racer. Thanks for all of you and Dvorak. Thank for all you and Dvorak do for the amygdalas. Okay, I got to add some of that in. So I got to do their birthdays. Can you read the next one while I
Yes, of course. In fact, it's my turn.
Yeah, very good.
Andrew Hellenius in Iron River, Wisconsin, 33433. And I actually sent a long note. In the morning, and thank you for your courage. Please accept this 334.33. If my calculations are correct, this brings me up to 999.99 since January. If you would be so kind to throw in a penny, that would put me at knight status. Please knight me, Sir Andy of the Axholes. Pronounced Axholes is the penny. Protector of the iron liver. I would like some Arby's and Chuck E. Cheese at the round table. Hold the redneck brawl. There's just something about cheap pizza and arcade games that makes people want to hurt someone. Lastly, please shout out to Midnight Mike, Joe, a.k.a. Flavorton, and Cretched at the OBDM podcast. Okay. Is their sound quality rivals that of the No Agenda podcast?
What? No, it's possible.
Give them a listen, for Pete's sake. I have just one message for the trio. Don't believe the 5.6 inches. Well, actually, it says don't believe the 5.6. I put the inches in. Please hit me with some jobs karma for an upcoming promotion opportunity. If I get it, I'm definitely getting me one of those PhDs. Well, time's a wasting. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. I'm just finishing up this. It's a little complicated, his note here. So that is
Sir. Well, I'll go on and continue. Yes,
please. Thank you.
John and Sherry Singer in Fenton, Missouri, 333.33. Switcheroo. John and Adam, thank you for what you do. You listen to the mainstream media, so we don't have to. I'm making this donation in honor of my 51st wedding anniversary on 11/20, so please credit my wife, Cheryl.
Aww.
I want to tell my smoking hot wife that I love her and desperately appreciate everything she does to take care of me. Honestly, I would probably be living under some bridge in a cardboard box if it wasn't for her. Oh, that's a quaint. Yeah. Our son Curtis hit us in the mouth some years ago, and I can't remember when. I finally listened to an episode, and the first hour was JCD ripping apart some global warming conference, and I was hooked. Your efforts to help people understand what a scam global warming is really makes a difference. Really?
Yeah.
On our next road trip.
Where's our carbon credits?
On our next road trip, we both listened to an episode. After a while, my wife asked me, is the old guy drunk? To which I replied, no, but the other guy might be stoned.
Good times.
Anyway, we've been loyal listeners ever since. And now that we're retired, we never miss an episode. I have almost finished 2 years of our modest sustaining donation, but this is our first show donation, so please de-douche us both.
You've been de-douched.
Love that, love that, love that.
Second one, please.
You've been de-douched.
No jingles, but general karma for everyone and house buying karma for our daughter, Christine. Thanks again, John and Cheryl Singer.
You've got karma.
Yes, Cheryl. Okay, got it. Doug is in San Antonio, Texas. Yes, this is correct. He sent this. He gave this to us in cash yesterday, and he sent an email. Good work. This is how you do it. Morning, gents. By the time you read this on Sunday, I should have handed over my donation to Adam or the keeper at the Saturday meetup in Austin. This donation earns me a seat at the round table, and I would like to forgo any food or drink requests. Instead, ask fellow producers to go check out my beautiful wife's new album. Yes, we've played this last night. We liked it. She has been by my side for 20 years and has been a professional musician since we met. Her solo project is Survival Guide, and her new album is called Death Dreams.
No, you can't use the word death.
Living Dreams. Hey, don't you guys listen to No Agenda? We give you all the marketing tips. If anyone would like more info, please go to our website, www.srvvlgd.com. srvvlgd.com, or search Survival Guide Music on your favorite search engine for links to music, or four new videos, merch links, merch, and limited vinyl.
Merch.
Please knight me Surface, Surface Noise, Surface, nice, Defender of the 33 and one-third. Ah, yes. Yes, I love people who love vinyl. Good work. Thank you very much for your courage and support.
Sir Nacho Alcatraz in, I guess, Mexico.
Yes.
Looks like maybe Mexico City. May your deconstruction be as smooth as Adam's hair and as sharp as John's wet saludos. Oh, no. His wet is wit. Sorry.
Wet saludos.
Wet. Wet.
With that?
As sharp as John's wit. Saludos, Sir Nacho Alcatraz. Eh, we need more donations from Mexico.
Lady N. No city provided, but in the U.S., $200 associate executive producership just says jingles. Why you raffing? Shut up. And a big old TPP jobs karma for my dear Ham.
Don't raff. Why you are laughing? Shut up. Shut up.
And here we go.
Jobs.
Jobs.
Jobs. Jobs.
Jobs. Jobs.
You've got karma.
Linda Lupatkin in Lakewood, Colorado. She wants some jobs karma. I am the real deal, she says. For a remarkable resume that gets results, go to imagemakersinc.com for all your executive resume and job search needs. That's imagemakersinc with a K, .com. That's like ink, I-N-K. Or just find Linda Lupatkin under the producers list.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You got karma.
Thank you all very much to these executive producers. Oh, I have another associate executive producer from the meetup yesterday. Baron Gordon Walter. He gave us $200, and that is for Jan. Can't really read this. For my Jan John. I wish I could read this. I'm sorry. Maybe Tina can help me with that. We'll put it on the list. We appreciate that. We appreciate our these executive and associate executives. These are credits, by the way, that are real. You can use at any show business event. Or you could just register them if you want at imdb.com. A lot of people like to do that. It's completely valid. You'll see that there are hundreds, almost 1,000 executive and associate executive producerships attributed to No Agenda. Put it on your LinkedIn, put it on your resume. And if anyone questions these, if they have questions, they're crazy, because we will gladly vouch for you, unlike those phonies in Hollywood.
And put it on your business card. No one will question that because it's on a card.
And before John takes us through to the 50s, a couple more donations here from the meetup. Felicia O with $100. Thank you. Farmer Chris with $100. I want to read this. I love you both. I can never miss a show, and I usually listen twice to make sure I absorb all your wisdom. Thank you, Farmer Chris. Farmer Chris, a lovely guy. And we got a boob donation from Dame Shanarchy. Just in the morning, thank you for everything you do. Resist we much. And did I miss anything? And oh, yes, thank you, No Beret, for the finest crullers from the region's producers. All right, John, take us through the 50s. We got cool meetup reports as well.
Crullers?
Yeah, that's like French for donuts.
So here is the, it's very short today. We really got, everyone's gone on vacation or whatever. We're even though we're working, and we'll be working on Thanksgiving, there's very little evidence that anyone's listening.
No one loves
us. But we're gonna, because, for example, we start off with right away, Kevin McLaughlin goes right to the top in Concord, wow. North Carolina. He's the Archduke of Luna, lover of America and boobs, and he comes in with 8008. And he does have a public service announcement. Happy wife, happy life. Play with the snuggle puppies daily. Sir Kevin O'Brien. It's in Chicago, 6006 with small boobs, which leads us right back to Kevin McLaughlin in Concord, North Carolina, 6006. Public service announcement number two, reduce holiday stress Ladies, tell us to kiss your melons and we will. And we will. Okay.
It reduces stress. Who
it
knew?
It reduces stress.
Who knew?
For everybody.
Who knew?
Except the kids, if they happen to see it. Banstra, Nashville, Tennessee, 5993. Les Tarkowski in Kingman, Arizona, 57. Dean Roker, 5110. Max Windham in The Woodlands, Texas, 51. He's going to be a knight. He'd like to be known as Sir Max of the Research Forest. I'd like to put my smoking hot girlfriend, Stacy, on the birthday list for 1127. I believe she's on there.
Yeah,
I could
be wrong. Yes, she is. She is, indeed.
Donald Tushoff in Jewiston, Idaho. This is a Rogan donation. Calling out a douchebag who wants to be anonymous. His name rhymes with bark, otter, smirkin.
Douchebag.
Okay.
All right.
Sir Pauly Bravo in Greeley, Colorado. 5280. Joan Pools in Hernando Beach, Florida. 50. Oh, these are all 50s. We're already there. We got a total of 20 donations before we get to 50s.
Wow.
Joan Pulse in Hernando Beach, Tatiana Prince in Hollywood, Florida, Nathan Cochran in Franklin, Tennessee, Peter Odo in Ridge, New York, Scott Lavender, Sir Scott in Montgomery, Texas, Gadget Freak 10 in Western Springs, Illinois, Luke Olson in Alexandria, Virginia, Corey Bennett in Denver, Colorado, Alexander Verdejo in Gig Harbor, Washington, Joe Oswald in Lithia, Florida. Chris Cowan in Austin, Texas. Fletcher Scafe, or Scafey, perhaps, in Williston, North Dakota. Sir Andrew Gusick in Greensboro, North Carolina. Linda J. Seeley in Arlington, Texas. Rita Harrington in Sparks, Nevada. Alan Bean, Sir Baron Alan Bean in Beaverton, Oregon. Leanne Shipley in Covington, Washington. Sir Spud the Mighty in Marietta, Georgia, and last on our short list, it's a very short list, a lot of 50s, but that's about it. Sir Jerry Wingenroth in Saugus, California. I want to thank these people, the ones who actually showed up to help us here on show 1609 for supporting us through this effort.
And we appreciate all donations of any amount. That's why it's value for value. We don't lock you into something you have to do every month or premium content, so we give you the crap for free. No, we give you the premium stuff right there. You can do whatever you want with it. And when you feel like you've received enough value, you can send it back to us. People send us smaller amounts. That's under 50. We always keep those anonymous. And of course, many people are on the sustaining donations, which are critically important to us. As the new year starts, you'll see that we'll be very happy if you can do a monthly, a weekly, or sometimes even a daily donation. Whatever it is, support us by going to noagendadonations.com or
Dvorak.org/NA.
And again, thank you to our execs and associate executive producers for supporting us for 1609.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Yeah, a little expanded list as we got a few late ones there from the meetup. Belated birthday to Rachel on the 5th of September and Sir Osceola on September 18th from the soon-to-be Sir Mustang Racer. Tom Mikakis wishes his amazing husband, Jake, or Jacob, a happy birthday. He turned 40 yesterday. Mike Salazzo turns 24 today. And Max Windham wishes his smoking hot girlfriend, Stacy, a happy birthday in advance of November 27th. We say happy birthday for everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. And now I would like to welcome on the podium Anonymous Anthony Trusnik, Jake, and Sir Ronald Lafferty. You are our latest No Agenda PhD graduates. Congratulations. Welcome to you, the new MD PhDs, to the Society of Learned Persons. The path to this high academic honor has been a long, if not costly one for some of you. Some of the price have been paid for your hard-earned wisdom and in other ways. But today is not an end. No, it is only a beginning. From this point forward, go forth and spread the No Agenda word far and wide, because we will not be silenced. We will not be deterred. The truth is out there, PhDs. Now go out there and find it.
Didn't you? Who'd you put up there? There's five.
What? Who did I miss?
Four. Tom McCuckus and the person that you got the 1,000 from at the meetup.
Well, I only have what I had on my list. Okay. Tom, wait, who did I miss? I missed McCuckus?
Yeah, you missed McCuckus. And
McCuckus didn't come through on the email.
Oh, well, that's no good.
Hold on a second. McCuckus, Tom McCuckus. All right.
I think she probably didn't put him on because he didn't claim it.
Well, that would be the issue. Well,
no, it says right here why he awarded an honorary doctorate. And this is for Jake. This is Jake or Jacob.
Well, I did Jake or Jacob.
Well, you did.
Yeah, I did Jake or Jacob for sure.
Did you do Anthony? No, I didn't do the one that you received.
Right. I didn't do. Did I not do Cliff Elliott? Oh, man. What am I doing here? Sir Ronald Lafferty.
Anonymous.
Jake or Jacob.
And Lafferty.
Jacob and Lafferty and Sir Mustang Race. Did I not do him? Did I not do Sir Mustang?
No.
Do I need to do McCuckus?
No, it went to Jake or Jacob.
Oh, okay. I see. So, well, let me do it again then. Anonymous! We'll edit this. No one will know the difference. Anthony Trusnik, Jake or Jacob, Sir Ronald Lafferty, and Sir to be Mustang Racer. There you go. Welcome, you PhDs of No Agenda. The truth is out there. Go out there and find it. Hey, you get what you pay for. Hey, you got yourself a PhD. Nobody complain about that. Nobody can complain. All right. Then, okay, this I think I have right. At least I hope I do. Hold on a second. Here we go. We got no dames today, but we do have knights. Now, is Tom McCuckus on this list?
Jake or Jacob?
Jake or Jacob. So
should be.
But it'll be Sir Jake or Jacob because we don't have a name for him. Jake.
Well, that's what we decided, Sir Jake or Jacob.
Okay. Well, that was for the switcheroo. That's Sir Jake. Yeah, Sir Jake is on here. No, we got it on here. Everything's good. Everything. The world has settled. We're good. Give me a big sword because I need to chop myself up.
Hold on
up
a second. It's on the ground.
Oh, jeez.
Fell over.
Okay.
There you go. No, here you go. It's a winner.
All right, Anonymous, Andrew Hellenius, Jake or Jacob, Doug, Max Windham and Cliff Elliott, all of you now are Knights of the No Agenda Roundtable, and I'm very proud and prepared to pronounce the KB as Sir Prime, Doctor of Illuminated Thinking, Sir Andy of the Axe Holes, Sir Jake, Sir Face Noise, Defender of the 33 and 1/3, Sir Max of the Research Forest, and Sir Mustang Racer. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Extra Rent Boys, and Chardonnay, Arby's, and Chuck E. Cheese. We got Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkling Cider and Escorts, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Breast Milk and Pavlov, and of course, we've got that Mutton and Mead. You know we always have that ready for you. It's good to have y'all here. Thank you. You can munch on the mutton, enjoy the mead while you check out noagendarings.com. That is also for your PhDs. You can order them there. Give us your name. We suggest you use your real name because it makes it look that much more authentic. It is authentic, but you know, people will just like, oh, wow, that's really yours. Isn't that pretty cool? For your rings, you need to give us your ring size, and with that will come the wax to seal your important correspondence, along with a certificate of authenticity. And thank you all for supporting the No Agenda Show and for becoming knights of the No Agenda Roundtable.
No Agenda Meetups.
Yesterday reminded me once again how important No Agenda Meetups are. I mean, it is so beautiful to have the counterpart, the companion to the podcast is really going to a meetup, just seeing everybody, all the different faces, different kinds of people, all walks of life. Everybody has a fun story. Everybody hangs out with each other. You know, we talk about stuff. There's never any it's always good. It's just, it's like a love fest, man. It's like back to the 60s. I'm loving. It's so beautiful. We don't have a lot. In fact, we have no meetups happening between now and our next show on Sunday, because Thursday's Thanksgiving. There's just nothing happening as far as I can tell. Oh, wait a minute. We do have, no, that's right. Friday, we have Fort Worth, Texas. That's on November 25th. We had a lot of meetups that we talked about on the last show. So we have a ton of meetup reports, starting off with the Austin extravaganza.
In the morning, this is Alex Serene, the NICU dad, with my wife and our human resource, Emerson.
In the morning, this is Emerson, and you've got Karma.
ITM, Farmer Chris.
Hi, this is Rose, and I'm here with the No Agenda Meetup. Woohoo! It is great being out.
In the morning, this is Salty Crayon.
ITM, Baron Dr. Cup.
In the morning, this is Josh.
Baron Gordon Walton here. In the morning.
Hey, all the Cali's, San Francisco's cleaned up. Time to go home.
Hey, this is Doug Longenecker. What's up with the Amish people? They're not getting backs.
In the morning to you, Liz coming from Austin, Texas.
This is Sir Rob.
Hey there, it's Amber Simpson. Morning.
Hey, this is Sir Matt Wells, out of the Austin Petty Cabbies, down here at the Austin Local 512.
In the morning, this is one half of the millennial lesbian couple. This is Rachel. OC decided to ditch me today to promote Rebus Realty.
For all your real estate needs in Austin, this is your local No Agenda real estate brokerage, Rebus Realty.
Resist we much, and we will about that be committed.
In the morning, it's Haley Vogel.
In the morning, this is Karen. So nice to see you guys again.
In the morning, Kristen. Great to be here.
This is Malik. I'm giving off spike vaxes and tumor nugs.
In the morning, everybody. This is Sir Brian with an I coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This is Rachel Cook. Keep the lid down.
Sir C Sharp of .NET here. ITM.
This is John Dork Will. Your eye in the sky.
Doug from San Antonio. Pick a side.
In the morning, it's Michael.
Hey, this is Rob Cardi. I'm your pro bono lawyer.
Hi, this is Dame Chanarchy reminding you that taxation is theft, but donation is love.
I'm Michelle. This is Chris.
I'm Chris.
In the morning.
In the morning.
ITM, Serotonin.
In the morning, this is Stephen B., the creator of Curio Caster and LN Beats. They're in Austin, Texas at the 512 meetup.
In the morning, this is Tim representing the Austin and Juna family.
It's Adam and Tina. Happy to be here.
This is Baron Scott and my keeper, Christine. In the morning, y'all.
In the morning. I hope everyone enjoys the name badges because there was a sweatshop at our house this morning.
I can't believe you're doing this to me, Scott.
I love Baron Scott. That guy just, he trips me out. And by the way, it was nice to meet our pro bono lawyer, Rob, who does all the, you know, he's tracking that Missouri v. Biden. He used to be JAG, so he knows about that. And he said that if you're ever in jail, drop a dime on me. He'll pop us out. So that's good to know, John, just in case. Always good to have a guy like that on your speed dial. This is where you say yes.
Yes.
And we had a meetup in Arlington, Virginia.
Hey, John and Adam. Hey, this is Sir William of West Pennsylvania at the Arlington meetup. We're doing it live and stop the hammering.
This is Sir Chris. Can you say Moule Moliniere?
Family from Annapolis, sending warm thoughts. We love you guys.
ITM, this is Aaron from Alexandria.
ITM, Sir Robert from the Smoky Mountains and Smoky Mountain Brass.
This is Sir Bob of the Chesapeake Bay. Connection is protection.
I think Sir William is a spook.
This is Kyle. There's French food on the menu, but all the slaves want some mac and cheese.
Hi, this is Roger. I've been shamelessly self-promoting Man vs. Street YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. Also, DC Girl couldn't be here. She's sick and is sorry.
Hey, Sir Richie Rich here. Glad to be here in DC. Thank you, Sir William. In the morning.
This is Darren, a guest here. Glad to be here. Interesting folks. Good conversation.
Wes, a guest also. Happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
In the morning.
Sounds like they're hitting some people in the mouth there in Arlington. We got a written report from New Haven, the nicotine meetup in Connecticut from Justin Cody. Adam and John, all the producers out there from the New Haven nicotine meetup in Connecticut. We had about six joining on the fun and for the first time organizing one. I thought it went very well. Smokes, drinks, and not in a large amygdala in sight. Very good. And North Georgia had a meetup.
In the morning, Adam and John, Sir Bob here with the North Georgia meetup report. We had a great turnout and great time as always. You know, we always learn something new at these meetups. So everybody in North Georgia, if you've never been to one, come to the next one December 21st. If you've been to it before and haven't been there for a while, come on out and join us again. We'd like to see you again. You know, this month, we learned that Darren O'Neill gave Mike Crotch his nickname of Dr. Sir Mike Crotch. Let's see what the rest of the slaves had to say. As always, thank you for your courage. And remember, connection is protection.
Dude named Ben here. Go to a meetup.
Sir E here from the real North Georgia. Remember, connection is protection.
This is at Radar Rider, my first meetup, and community is connection. Go to a meetup soon.
Hi, this is Lisa, my first meetup with no agenda, and very happy. Love the people. Can't wait till the next one.
In the morning, this is Carrie hanging out with all the fine Georgia folks. Hello, everyone. This is Naira. And where are all my Russians at? Is anyone listening? Over.
Hey, N.A., Dr. Sir, Mike Roch. If I'm going to collect another diploma, I'm going to need a transcript. Make it sealed. Send it to my employer. Oh, do you accept PayPal for pay? Adios.
A production note, if you're going to do a meetup report, either tighten it up or don't put music under it, because it makes editing impossible for me. And the final meetup report was from Nashville, kind of a sad one.
This is Steve, the Baron of DNA. I'm at the pre-Thanksgiving meetup in Nashville, and unfortunately, nobody showed up. Maybe next time.
Oh, come on, people. Hook a brother up, Nashville. As I said, nothing up until through the next show day, but on the 25th, on Friday, Fort Worth, Texas. And then we've got Denver, Colorado on the 30th, Tilburg, the Netherlands. We've got some Louisiana, Connecticut, Indianapolis. Remember, the Keeper and I will be there December 4th. We got Fort Dodge, Iowa on the 6th. We have another Fredericksburg, Virginia on the 9th. I mean, these things are popping all the way through December 23rd in Torrance, California. These are the No Agenda Meetups. If you like the show, you need to get this. Other part of it is the companion is what you need in your life. Connection is protection. Go out and hang out with some human beings. NoAgendaMeetups.com. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you won't be, triggered on hell's flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Hugh Musky. And that was long. Long meet. But I love it. I love these meetups. It's so refreshing to see human beings hanging out with each other. People don't do enough of that anymore. Do you have any ISOs? Are you alive?
I have. Yeah, I did first. I went first last time. I'm going first again.
Again? I wanted to go first. Okay.
Yeah. I have four ISOs.
Oh, you're gonna let me go first because you're gonna win.
Go first.
Okay, I'm gonna go first. I'm just playing. It's too long, but it's just because it's a classic, and he's come back with another version of it.
I'm sick of him putting mercury in the food and water supply that turns the frickin' birds gay.
I mean, I just wanted to give props to the seed man for that one. He doesn't stop. This was interesting.
Magical shape shifting Jews.
I didn't expect that one. And we have one from Megyn Kelly.
Thank you so much for your courage.
There you go. That's the four.
Well, that was pretty good.
Yeah, Megyn one's pretty dynamite. Yes, I agree.
So let's go. Well, the one that competes with that is thanks for your. Let's start at the top. One of my favorites is amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Ah, I wish it were a little, wouldn't cut off.
Yeah, but, it's muddy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with blunder.
Colossal blunder.
Who is that? Who's doing that?
Who's this? Play it again. You can identify the voice.
Let me see if I can.
Colossal blunder.
I can't.
It's Colossal Schumer. Blunder.
I can't. It's Chuck Schumer.
You can't hear it?
That's Chuck Schumer?
Yeah, it's Chuck Schumer. Oh. All right. Well, you didn't like that. So no. Let's go lovely.
How
lovely.
Oh, sorry.
How lovely.
A little muddy as well, man. A little muddy.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much for your time.
Clean as a whistle.
Yeah, for me, it's between that and the thank you for your courage. I mean, I don't know which one.
I would go with Megyn.
Yeah, you think, yeah, that's Megan's. I mean, it's good. She stole that from us. She listened to our show. You know she does.
I doubt it.
You know she does. Now, we are at...
if she gets a note saying, hey, they mentioned you on the show, and then she'll send back, at exactly what point?
Yeah.
Give me a time code.
I want a time code, or it didn't happen.
Or I won't listen to it. It's too long.
It is. We are 3 minutes and seven, 3 hours and 7 minutes into the show. That means it's time for...
What do you want?
Good news.
When do we want it?
Now, please.
Yeah, good news time.
Good news, everyone.
Yes, John, did you bring us a good news clip?
Yes, I did, and here it is.
Hundreds of lucky students at a Southwest Metro elementary school got a big surprise this morning. Metro Shoe Warehouse and OKC Public Schools teamed up to give them all new shoes.
Aww.
News 4's Austin Brissett was there.
700 shoes wheeled into Fillmore Elementary here in Oklahoma City. 600 kids all leaving with a brand new pair of kicks.
Ready? Let's try this one on.
It was a Friday to remember for these Fillmore Elementary School Falcons, kicking off the Christmas season a little early.
You like that?
So many choices, all thanks to a partnership between the Oklahoma City Public School District and Metro Shoe Warehouse.
Hey, looks like a two, about a three for you.
It's Metro Shoe Warehouse's 12th year doing this. They help over 2,000 kids per year in the Oklahoma City District.
Oh, it's awesome. It's a great feeling. You know, we've loved doing it, and, you know, we'll continue to do it for a long, long time.
School principal Stephanie Bowman says they kept it a secret in spirit of the holiday season.
So this morning we announced that everybody was getting a new pair of shoes, and I just love seeing the excitement on their faces when they were coming into the gym this morning.
Volunteers helped streamline the process, matching the right size, the right style with each student.
It's Christmas is around the corner, and this is one less thing our parents have to worry about.
Austin Brissett, Oklahoma's News 4.
Good news, everyone!
That made me happy. I feel good now.
Well,
thank
please.
You. That's good. No, I like that. Well done. Well done, sir. Well done. I had the good news of the dog that stayed with his dead owner for 10 weeks, but it was kind of
kind of creepy.
It's kind of creepy news. Yes. When we return on Thursday, which will be Thanksgiving, we're happy to work for you. Happy to be here to bring you your deconstruction. I probably have
while everybody else vacations.
That's all right.
Second team comes in, third team comes in, not here.
Migrant replacement stuff, still got some China stuff, more big pharma stuff. We'll just have to carry that over to the next show. Thank you all for being at the meetup. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being executive, associate executive producers, show number donations, PhD graduates. And up next on No Agenda Stream, we have Revelations Radio News, along with end of show mixes from Sir Dr. I, D's Laughs, and Secret Agent Paul. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country in FEMA Region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I remain, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return again on Thanksgiving. Will we be thanking you? We'll be giving the thanks to you and media deconstruction. Until then, remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey and such.
They're going to do it to everybody. Anybody who's not on board with the message is going to get it. That's just the new way. If you're a politician, you're not on board, then you're going to get it. If you're a journalist, you're not on board, you're going to get it. You know, the only thing that's left standing is podcasts.
If you want to call it standing, personally, I'm sitting.
I'm sitting too.
Food noise and chatter, sugar addicts having gastric emptying episodes. Ask yourself, what's the matter? More damage than the benefit once you start taking these pills. It's hard to kick, look out for an Ozempic rebound after the plateau. Same drug, new name, heck, the public will never know. Fasting can cure you pretty fast. Two is always better than one, just think about the outcast. What's next in my head? I hear a food voice. Nah, that was Key and Peele with the noise. Yeah, PBS with a couple of dipshit chicks. I mean, it's called insulin resistance. Hunger cues giving you these metabolic clues. Your body's a temple talking about Dr. Who? Dr. Carla is a pediatrician, an obesity physician. Brain science, chemicals up in the air. Constant cravings in the brain. Doctors don't really care. We'll be right back.
off you go.
Off they go.
Can anyone hear? Remember the hole in the ozone layer? Can you tell me where it's gone? I can't recall why, but I know we were all gonna die. We must have done something wrong. Does anyone know what happened to the gasoline shortage when the pumps would all run dry? The last drop would be gone by 1991, but now there's an ample supply. Does anyone here remember the Y2K bug? Everything was gonna crash. Every screen would be blackened, but then nothing happened. But someone made a lot of cash. It was gonna be the next ice age, but somehow we turned that page. We were all gonna freeze, now it's up by 12 degrees. And the children roared, I want my hoverboard.
And no agenda producers, if you're on antidepressants and you're gaining weight, I love you. I love you. I don't care how fat you are. I love you. Seriously. Don't. It doesn't sound like a good idea to add this to the mix. It doesn't.
Well, to change topics here, I want to talk about our new intelligence agency.
I love you. I love you just the size you are. Okay. That's important for me to say because I love our producers. I don't care how big they are.
I don't know why you're calling big.
The best podcast in the universe.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you so much for your courage.